welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeedy, indeed. Oh, Donald Logue is coming in today.
I love him. Love him.
As well, Knights of Prosperity, name of that show. But he's also in some new movie that's coming out, like where, Fire Chopper, Homo Guy.
Fire Chopper.
Is that?
Fire Chopper, Homo Guy.
Well, that's how every I didn't grow up reading. 866-901 Adam.
He's a ghostwriter.
Yeah,
right.
I was.
Oh.
I grew up in. Yeah, see, I don't remember names. I just remember impressions. I see the commercial. I think Fire Chopper Homo Guy. I didn't read growing up at all.
That surprises me.
Well, thank you. Neither did any of my friends. We thought that we would be, you know, firemen or construction workers, which is whatever it turned out to be. And we knew that reading really had no place in our lives. And we wanted to, like, as long as the sun was shining, we wanted to fight and wrestle and play sports and play ditch and, you know, ram each other on our bicycles. So we had no interest in sort of sitting around and looking at things. There was no passive interest my friends had. The deal was, we got to find a chimney, and then we got to find a swimming pool, and we got to jump off the chimney into the swimming pool, or we got to find something like a dirt clod or something we can throw.
Always has a rock in the middle and knocks someone's tooth out.
Right, or someone's getting in a headlock, or we're playing ditch. If we ran out of everything to do, we just play ditch. We'd hop over the fence, go into the schoolyard. First thing is go somewhere you're not supposed to be, and then start chasing each other around.
Right.
It was basically, and then if you can, get on the roof. Somehow the roof.
Yeah, the roof is always important, absolutely.
It's the place to be.
Basement, scary, but also a place to be because you also got to be kind of brave to go into the dirtiest, scary basement of the place you're not sure of.
Growing up out here, never saw a basement until I was in my late 40s, early 50s.
We don't have basements, really. Here.
Yeah, no basements, and then there's certainly no basements. Well, there's the unit underneath the apartment that Ray lived in, but that's just the first floor.
No, we once had a basement. Mm-hmm. I was hundreds of thousands of dollars ago, and now we have offices and libraries and movie theaters.
Nice. Wow. That's what you want.
Well, I had the most antithetical childhood to yours ever because all I did was read. I lived in a bad neighborhood. You couldn't really play. There was nothing to do but read. And Donald Logue went to Harvard, so he's probably well-read. Yes.
Well, I think he's in a Motorcycle Chopper Homo movie.
Motorcycle Chopper Homo 1 or 2?
I'm surprised. Well, I think this is a prequel, so it makes it 2.
Okay.
I am always surprised and saddened when I'm with other adult males, because now I've shifted gears. I'm not hanging around with the construction dirt clod guys.
Sometimes.
I had a question about that before we move on, if you don't mind.
Yes.
There is no way that you have your vocabulary and even timing if you didn't read. At what point did you start?
I never started reading. I realized I had to learn how to read at a certain point.
I've been all through this.
Because it was...
Both me and my daughters are... She's severely, but I'm dyslexic. And I had to learn to read. And the books on cassette have been, and CD have been wonderful.
Oh, really? I wasn't dyslexic. I just never learned to read.
You know what I did? When I was about 22. Now, my dad's a genius and a horrible human being and kept working because he was a genius, because people used to be in awe of my dad. So I wrote 100 people, starting with my aunt, who was the head of the journalism department at Temple, and said, "Would you please tell me the 3 most important books in your life?" Mm-hmm. And then I went and I bought them all, and I read them all without leaving the boat. I sat on that boat for a year and a half, 2 years.
You wrote a letter?
Wrote a letter saying, "Please tell me the most 3 important books in your life."
Wow. Which books came out?
You know what's funny? About 60 books didn't come out to be 100.
Really?
Well, everybody put the Bible.
I was going to say, which came out the most frequently?
Yeah. The Bible.
And which other one?
I don't really remember anymore. Canterbury Tales. Crime and Punishment.
Catcher in the
Rye. War and Peace. Anything by Tolstoy.
Lolita.
I read The Phantom Tollbooth when I was in the 6th grade. That's my claim to fame.
I mean, that's because I was this, like, cokehead. I really felt bad. You know, I married some other girl to get her a green card once, right?
Yes.
I did that, and my reasoning for that was I was a waste in America. And the reason I married this hard-working taxpayer was I was going to swap America, her, for me.
You mean you weren't contributing to the fabric of America?
Right. So, but I'd give America this really hardworking girl as my gift for being a sloth.
Huh.
Right.
So that's what I did.
Oh.
And then I got tired of being a sloth.
Most people just do it for the $500.
Yeah, right. And all the sushi I can eat.
Adam, how did you soak up your knowledge, if not by reading?
Yeah.
Well, first off,
I find it hard to believe, actually.
Let me say the people were in awe of my dad. Oh, no, wait a minute. They were yawning. That's right.
Yeah,
I knew there was like a...
Of course, you were the spawn of your dad.
Yeah, my... Let's see, whatever knowledge. I didn't learn to read because I went to some weird hippie school in the 70s, and they didn't put much of an emphasis on anything that involved scholastics. And then once I didn't learn to read, and here's the thing, everybody. You don't have to know how to read just because you're living in North America and white. You don't have to know how to learn the language. If I took my kid and I put him in a box and I raised him in a basement and I never spoke to him and I never allowed him to watch any television,
he'd be happier.
He'd be happier, but he wouldn't know how to express his happiness because he wouldn't know that word. And I mean, you don't just automatically know how to read and write.
I think
people assume you do. And maybe, again, they're just doing this sort of white guy math. Because it's one of these things where when a black guy can't read, the system let him down. Oh, man, we failed this man. White guy can't read? Dyslexic. You ever think about how racist that is?
You know, I almost never tell anybody I'm dyslexic because every punk-ass bitch I know who can't read says it.
Well, if you were black, they would say, the system let you down, you fell through the cracks, you're a latchkey kid, we have to overhaul the system because people like Danny, there's no such thing as a black athlete that's dyslexic, there's just the ones that never learn to read. But if you're white and you seem intelligent, then people naturally assume you're dyslexic. I'm not dyslexic, I've been tested for it, I never really learned to read. And I didn't think it was going to have much of a part in my life. And I was right until I turned 30.
I'm waiting for the punchline because I find this hard to believe.
Well, it's no big deal. I just listen to talk radio and watch a lot of TV and absorbed the language and absorbed some knowledge via these two modalities. But I never actually sat down and opened a book.
But you've made references. I mean, I don't want to make a big deal out of this. You're telling your story, I'm sorry, but I'm just a little dumbfounded. You've made references to specific lines from some of the greatest books in the world.
Well, they probably made TV shows out of them or something like that. But the full circle story is, and then at a certain point when I was about 30 and I started getting into show business, I realized 3/4 of show business is reading. They hand you a script or they hand you some live copy or you put together your own script, whatever it is. There's a ton of reading in show business, and it's something I never counted on. I mean, the idea of a teleprompter is incredibly stiflingly frightening to me because that's your worst-case scenario for someone who doesn't read. But over the last 10 years, I've been able to sort of work on it and overcome it because I was intelligent.
Plus
I just never learned to read. But the part that I never got used to, and maybe it's just a new crowd, is... So I never collected baseball cards. I never looked at comic books. This was passive stuff for me. Like if I opened a comic book and I saw a picture of a guy jumping off something onto another guy and punching him, I just want to jump off. I didn't understand why I want to look at a picture of it. I want to go jump on my buddy Ray and beat him up.
That's not why I'm not with your pals, although I want to anyway, just because it seems so funny to me. That's why I'm not with you and all your pals, because you have, in fact, invited me, according to my wife. I missed it. But to
no,
go
he did.
With
You've
you
been
and
invited.
Jimmy Kimmel and 18 guys and watch a football game.
Yes.
Well, some of them
must
are.
Must be something else that happens.
Some of them are readers, by the way. And my
new
crowd I hang out with, and I still hang out with the old crowd, but all the new guys, as it turns out, are readers. Well, I'm not used to these guys. And so when these movies come out.
You mean Homo, Chopper, Fire?
Chopper, Fire, Homo guy. These guys, first off, have heard of it.
Right.
Right.
I've never heard of it.
Ghostwriters. I mean, is that the movie, Bri?
Yeah, Ghostwriters. I've heard of you know, Superman and Batman, whatever they made into a Saturday morning cartoon, but that's about all I knew, whatever they... And then these guys are elated. These 40-year-old guys are like, finally, Ghost Rider. And then falling to their knees in praying to the geek gods that they don't screw it up. Let's not screw this one up. Please, as if they have some vested interest in it. Then a little argument breaks out. What about Silver Surfer? Oh, that's the best. Oh. When are they going to do that? Then all of a sudden, passions ignited in the hearts of white adult males about comic books. And for me... That is that from Tron? Where's that from?
So I feel the same way with the Transformers movie this coming
out,
Angela.
Oh, no.
I read for that, by the way. I read for that.
Transformers.
Smoking Transformer.
I was supposed to be a heathen.
What the hell was the one with Magneto?
X-Men.
Oh, I've changed.
Venus and Mars, Paul McCartney.
I've removed the M from Magneto and replaced it with an F, by the way, if you can do the math. Point is I don't get it. I mean, and these same guys make fun of Dungeons and Dragons and stuff, but then get into a fist fight over X-Men versus, the Green Lantern, and it's like, you guys ought to hear yourselves for a second. This is retarded.
Do you really have a Silver Surfer fan?
There's a couple
of them. The reason I ask is I went through a really weird phase when this very last time, so it's still going, I can say the time I actually got sober, I went through a really weird phase. I have a bunch of weird tattoos now that I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
I started wearing these really weird clothes, and some of them were just body fitting because I lost all the weight, and some of them were goth. I mean, I really went through phases. I have a Silver Surfer t-shirt that I've never had the balls to wear once I got home from the store. And a $300 Silver Surfer belt that I've never worn.
Well, not until tomorrow.
I was going to wear pirate clothes today. I was fighting with my wife all night, so I had to run.
Well, you got to save. You have to save a little something for the mansion. That's tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wear normal clothes and a really great pirate coat.
Well, at least wear the $300 Silver Surfer belt.
Yeah,
I wear the belt and the pirate coat.
I'm just saying, and a mesh shirt. This is a topic I think we'll get into a little bit later on today. This thing about men sort of turning into women and then not caring, meaning, look, have your thoughts about Silver Surfer versus the X-Men and Wolverine and your sort of homoerotic thoughts about all these comic books and things. Please don't voice them out loud in front of other judging adults. I feel like there's no... I now hang out with a group that starts arguing about, Gollum versus Darth Vader and this kind of stuff. And it's like, you guys are 40 years old and you're having this argument in an open forum. There are people trying to work. You're having this argument. You don't care. Same thing with the guys who announced that, I honked at this guy at the stoplight. He got out of his car and he came at me. And then the next guy's like, oh, you must have been petrified. Oh, yes. I rolled my windows up and locked the door. Like, guys didn't have these conversations 30 years ago. They would at least put on a little bravado. I stared this guy down, and he knew I meant business, and he slunk right back to his car.
The same day with Target playing Eye of the Tiger, and I remember I said, how do you teach your daughter? Because she said, this is the gayest song ever. And the guy that flipped me off, she said, I called him a retard, but I couldn't call a really retarded person. He flips me off. I slam on my brakes. Pull over, roll to my window, and go like this, like for him to come here. And then I realize, there's a child in my car. I can't do this now.
Oh, I thought it was you.
Two children.
You're going to always
have that. There's a 12-year-old in the car that's probably going to get dad wiped out because dad doesn't care that much, and there's a couple of them.
There's a 10-year-old driving.
I realized
I had a kid in the car. I pulled up next to him, and instead I went, because they beeped, were really mad, and I pulled up next to him, and I went, hey, man, that was an accident. My fault. I'm really sorry. And they all went, oh, cool, man. That was that.
Well, I don't feel like guys not only brag about their comic books and their sci-fi TV shows and movies, but then they talk about wussing out of fights and they explain they can't touch their car, they can't fix a thing on it, they can't fix a thing on their house. That's something that Danny's announced.
Cartoon.
I don't feel like guys 30 years ago, even if they knew nothing about a car, would say, pop the hood, let me have a look-see.
Yeah.
Instead of somebody call AAA, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, 30
oh,
years
I'll say
ago,
pop the hood, just
30
so
years ago,
here.
A dentist or doctor could fix a tire.
We're not even right.
Guys, 30 years ago, the jets didn't have jets. They had propellers. Things change. Things advance. It's called evolution.
Yeah, I just feel like we're evolving to becoming women.
You think
and
we're
women,
de-evolving.
Women are... Well, if you
emerging
look at that as a
genders.
Devolve, I just think of it as a merge. Yeah, I think there's an X. Speaking of X-Men, X-Men. Powerful.
Very nice.
We used to be men, everyone.
Can I use that?
We're crossing, and I'm holding my hands up about 2 feet apart. In 1950, we were here. As we approach the intersection in the 90s, we're here, and we're about 8 years away from just literally merging with women. We need to take a break.
Okay, good.
Eric Estrada, Armed and Famous.
Good show.
The new network show everyone thinks is on cable.
Yeah, it's actually on CBS.
We'll take a quick break. We'll speak to Punch after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? We're cock-blocking, ready to rock on this bad boy. From Armed and Famous, Eric Estrada. We'll talk to Christopher Knight from the Brady Bunch. From the Knights of Prosperity, comedian Donald Lowe. Your chance to win tickets to the Playboy Mansion. And we'll do a little American Idol recap. Jackman disappointed there wasn't more Hall & Oates. Oh, here she comes. Watch out, boy. Choo-choo you up. You feeling it, dog? Late.
Thanks, Jack. It's Adam Carolla with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Eric Estrada has just popped up on the line.
Nice.
Talk to him from Armed and Famous. Eric Estrada.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
What up, Eric?
Hey, Danny, I got to talk to you, man.
What's good? That really makes me happy on the radio. What's up?
Listen, man. I'm a big fan of yours, and I know you've been through a lot. I didn't get to catch the end of your show, man. Are you cool?
Yeah, thank you very much for asking. Everything is all good. If you're asking specifically, I've been sober 11 months, and my wife and I and children are still together.
Oh, yeah, because that little boy is delicious, that son of yours. He was so great.
Thank you, man.
All you got to do if you want to find out how long Danny's been sober is look at the tattoo on his left shoulder and then add 14 months, and that's how you know how long he's been sober. Right. That's his sober date if he would have been sober on that date.
I wasn't sober on that date, but I did the math of when I would be sober and got that date.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And he's always been one of the good guys. You know, he just had to find his way, man, and he did, and I'm happy for him.
Well, I'm happy you found your way, Eric Estrada.
To another big network show.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? You know, somebody's got to do it.
Armed and Famous, CBS, tonight, 8 o'clock. We, quick piece of Bonaducci Estrada trivia.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm probably one of the few people, and I was not briefed on this. As anyone who listens to this show, you know I pride myself in not doing any homework or preparing.
Me too.
I happen to remember the episode of Chips.
That's right. Danny was on twice.
That's right. Now he was five times. He says he was a karate master with the evil Andy Mastodon as his instructor.
How do you pull that name out of your ass? You rock.
And in Punch, aka Eric Estrada, had to go to the dojo and talk about karate. Yeah. And Andy wanted to throw down with Eric Estrada, aka Punch. But that's not what karate's about. You see, this guy was a hoodlum. He was no Zen karate master.
I've actually seen this happen. I thought the Zen guy.
Eric Estrada, do you remember working with Danny Bonaducci? And what are your recollections?
One thing about Danny is you don't want to mess with him when he gets tense.
When he gets in his gi, look out.
When he gets tense,
he's very good. He's extremely very good, and he's very courageous.
Now, what year was that? We talking about late 70s, early 80s?
Early 80s.
Yeah, we're talking 80, maybe.
Where did you, as I watch you and Larry Wilcox riding up and down the freeway, I think, wow, there wasn't a lot of traffic back then. But you guys filmed all that stuff on the newly constructed freeway, right?
Yeah, the 118 before was anything. We did a car chase, he and I, where at the end of it, you had to slam on your brakes or just fall off the cliff.
That's right.
And there was no freeway. It just stopped.
Just ended.
You'd go to the end of the freeway that was finished, and then you'd have to back everything up again and then start over again. It was pretty wild.
What do we got? And then I'll ask you if you keep in touch with Larry. But what's going on tonight's episode? There's Wee Man. There's Jack Osborne, LaToya Jackson.
Yeah. Well, tonight we in one of the segments tonight, I went on my first sting where we were tracking with the sheriff's department, and the state troopers were tracking a career criminal who steals a, I call it a Tonka toy, but it's a construction machine that digs out dirt for construction.
Like a backhoe.
Backhoe, right.
Yeah, backhoe. And then he's got to steal a trailer to haul it off in. So we waited for him to load the backhoe onto a stolen trailer that he stole, and then we take him down.
Well, you actually went to the academy, passed
right.
all, everyone passed everything
right.
and became certified, so to speak.
Real cops.
Yeah, we're real cops.
That's awesome, man.
Real gun, real bullets. And,
where did you go to do the training?
In Muncie, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a small town. It has 90,000 people in it, but it has a tremendous high rate of crime because most of your little cities in America now have been so inundated with crack and meth that the crime rate is unbelievable.
Look, Eric, just say it. We're both thinking it. The Jews. The Jews have moved into Muncie and taken over with the mafia and the crack and cooking up the meth in the garages. Just say it, Eric. I know we're all thinking the same thing.
Yeah, well, that's what's happened to them. You know, these little.
So some Jew thought it would be okay to steal some construction equipment, and you're going to drop the hammer on him tonight.
Well, yeah, and there was one moment where I got my gun drawn, faced at the I'm right in position one where I was very vulnerable to get shot. If he you know, we asked him to show his hands, and he showed his left hand, but he took his time with his right hand, and that's when your mind starts clicking, saying, God, I hope he doesn't have a gun in that hand. I hope he doesn't have a gun, a weapon in that hand. And thank God he didn't, because I don't really want to shoot anybody unless they're shooting at me.
So, right, and now these.
See, yeah, I'm about Amadou Badalo, is that his name? The guy got shot 41 times, reaching for his wallet.
Yeah.
I think the cops were right.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
so
I'm
that's
fine
more,
with that, yeah.
Danny, you wish it was more like 51.
Yeah, it's like, you're reaching for your wallet, and you're not from this country. Well, we need to shoot you all day.
Eric Estrada, did you get close to the actual cop that they partnered you with on the show?
Oh, yeah, Officer Jamie Brown. Yeah, she's pretty interesting. I mean, she's raised on a farm. She's got three kids. Her husband is the guy that we had a fight in defense tactics in the red suit. An awesome cop himself, but this woman works with domestic abuse, child abuse, rape, and pit bull fighting.
Wow.
That's her forte.
Now, here's the thing that you may not know about Eric Estrada, or you may. The man's a bull of a guy. Like, there's certain physics to fighting that you look at the second you're about to go with a guy, about how you can topple him, how you can bring him down. If your hand, like my hands are not big enough to bring anybody really big down. They're too small. They won't do nearly enough damage. Eric's a bull, and there's almost no good way to knock Eric Estrada down. He would really fight you all day. And I've seen him go for hours on the set and
really?
Never get tired. Yeah.
I think it would be surreal to be pummeled by Eric Estrada.
It's almost worth it, don't you think?
And I feel like a lot of the people, like some of these people, like Trish Stratus, I'm not sure if I would recognize if she stopped me other than I'd say this is a hot chick. But if Eric Estrada pulled me over, I would assume it was a Chips reunion and I got in the way of some filming.
I would think it was a hot chick, but maybe that's just me.
Speaking of a Chips reunion, how did things stand between you and your former partner?
Yes,
on Chips?
Larry Wilcox.
Well, I haven't seen Larry in a long, long time. I did get a Christmas card this year.
That's nice.
We do that. We send it back and forth. But we don't hang. He's got his life, he's got his style, and I got mine.
I used to like it. Speaking of life and style, my favorite part of Chips is when they got out of the uniform, they put on the members-only jacket, and they headed back to the swingers condo down in Marina Del Rey.
Yeah.
I like to see. There was something about seeing the guy in his time off. It was almost the equivalent of knowing one of your teacher's first names in junior high. Little peek behind the curtain.
Seeing the cop at the loft in Marina Del Rey.
Yeah, let's find out what makes Poncherella tick.
Yeah, I used to live right there, too. It was kind of cool.
He'd pull up in that Trans Am. He had some ladies. Had a lady friend coming over tonight. Was going to see if she had a friend for Larry.
Hey, lady friend. He'd time them out. Remember, Ponch?
Yes.
I got to have Linda by 8, and she's got to be up by 11 for Betty.
Larry would be wearing a rust-colored, burnt orange turtleneck sweater and some dingo boots. He'd be looking good.
What was Adam, before Eric, don't answer this. Adam, what was Ponch's first name?
Frank.
Well, very good.
Very nice.
Frank Poncherella. Hey, listen, if I know who Andy Mastodon is, the guy who ran the Cobra Kai in 1979.
Yeah, I can't believe that. Hey, Eric, can I ask you something about that? And it's kind of personal, and you can not answer if you want.
Go ahead, baby.
When you went into, and it's dead serious that you don't have to answer because it was a weird thing going around the set. When you went in to fight the guy in full gear, and he's got bare hands and feet, you still had the rubber mats on your feet. And everybody said, Eric Estrada has webbed toes and won't show his feet. What? That's why he's wearing that. Is that true?
Well, I just, you know, I'm a Pisces. What can I tell you? No, I don't have webbed feet.
Oh, that was the rumor. I want you to know that, because why would you wear boxing gloves in a fight with a guy who wasn't? So we all wondered, why is he wearing those things on his feet? And so everybody thought you had webbed feet.
So anytime you see a guy with a sock on, you're like, hey, flipper!
No, there was a reason.
Okay, all right.
I didn't want to hurt the guy because... I didn't want to hurt him.
You're a bull. You're built like a bull. He's a mere actor.
That guy would come in and he did a very. He tried to bleach his belt out, which is like an old trick that never ever works. Because a black belt, by the time it's black, is usually gray and torn from tying the knot. It's all torn at the knot.
Oh, he tried to look like an old school black belt.
His black belt, and he came in and he was so full of crap. Eric would have killed him.
Well, he played Andy Mastodon, but his real name is Eric Schwartz, and there's no doubt. He was just an actor. Well, Eric, we'll be watching tonight on Armed and Famous. Can you tell us anything in upcoming episodes, the teasers, they call it? Does somebody get shot, a brush with death?
Well, we got one thing where LaToya is a prostitute.
Perfect.
And I got to take the guy down.
Nice.
You know, so that worked out real good. And then there's other stuff, you know. I had to dress two guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to go get them. A felony warrants, which are the ones where you got to be on the top of your game because that's guns ready.
Right.
And a felony warrant. And it'd be interesting when you go get somebody, and you'll see this, we go get somebody looking for somebody at 3, 4 in the morning, and you open, you know, they open the door, and you always use a different name that you're looking for, so then you can ask the person their name, and if that's them, you grab them and cuff them real quick. You don't want to mess around.
Smart.
But usually, when they weren't there, I'd run everybody's ID in the house, and usually, I end up taking somebody that we didn't come looking for because they had warrants.
Mm-hmm. I see. So these guys would run together.
Well, no, it's just that you go looking for somebody, and they're not there. Somebody else answers the door. You run their ID, and you find out they got a warrant.
I'm just saying, you go to the bad part of town and knock on 10 doors, 8 of the people are going to have warrants.
Right.
Yeah, that was most of it.
I don't want to say Jews, but I know what we're all thinking.
I will give you an interesting statistic. When I was on probation, my probation officer said you cannot be within 500 feet of another felon. And I said, well, how the hell am I supposed to know? And he goes, you're not, and really don't worry about it. Because if you're on a normal standard jet plane, there's 4 other felons on it.
Oh, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Wow. All right. Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, my pleasure.
Hey. We'll be watching tonight.
And thanks for always being so good to me, buddy.
Hey, Danny, you're the best, man. You just stay up there. Stay on top now.
I'm hanging in. Thank you.
You got it.
Show.
Very sincere, Eric Estrada.
I enjoy the show.
Armed and Famous, CBS Tonight, 8 p.m. I was picturing LaToya Jackson having to pose as a prostitute, and I imagine it once something like in the briefing room. LaToya, you'll be playing a prostitute tonight. Oh, okay. Should I go home and change? No. No, that's good. As a matter of fact, put something on. We don't want to overdo it.
If I had to pick LaToya Jackson or that guy in Phoenix, I'm going right back to that corner in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Really?
LaToya Jackson, it's not, you know, I wouldn't be nervous trying to pick her up like, hey, this is a sting operation, but no. It'd be more like, hey, this is a dude.
But and just so you know, because I went to high school with her, too. And she got the weird plastic surgery and bleaching and all that stuff before any of the rest of them did. She started that trend.
She was doing that back then. She was doing her nose and doing it.
Her nose. Well, you know how Freaky Mike's nose is quite like that, but her cheeks were so puffed around from additives that her nose kind of perched out from what looked like an ass.
Yeah, I feel like more time could be dedicated to her, except for she's not on everyone's radar like Michael is. But I also do feel, you know, I'm trying to picture these conversations we're going to have. You know, it's like that with my kids, you know, where they go, you know, these conversations you have with your parents, like where you go, like, You mean black people had to use a different drinking fountain? Didn't anybody think that was strange? And they're like, hey, you know what? At the time, I don't know. We just got along. That's just the way it went.
If you want to go further, because this is scary to even say on the radio, but there was a time where you didn't have to use a different colored fountain. White people owned you. You know, that was like...
Yeah, but at least we're not having that conversation with our parents. Like, my dad didn't work on a plantation.
A couple of generations go by, and I think you're cool, because I played an Indian casino the other night, and I wanted to make a couple of jokes, and they told me, don't do it. And I thought, it's been a pretty long
time.
No
Indian jokes.
No.
No black jokes?
No.
No black foot jokes?
Indian casino?
Yeah.
And I did one of two jokes. I forget what the first one was. The other, it was about being lost and using MapQuest, which was a very good joke, by the way. And I said, what happened? We've lost. You can't smoke, so you're out of signals.
Right.
And I said, what happened to that art of being able to put your ear to the ground and hear the slot machines? And they said, not a chance, dude. Don't do that.
Oh.
Do not bad jokes
unless
to me about the spot.
Unless you tell Bonaducci not to do that. It's like telling Andy Mastodon not to take a kid down in a gi. You do it. Well, my feeling is the Jacksons are going to be in that explanation. Like, I feel like just like those things we ask our parents, and they're sort of like, yeah, I don't know. And by the way, I feel the Corollas, if they did, in fact, own slaves many years ago, eventually the slaves would have owned them.
Right.
That's the way I feel about my family. They're so willowy and spineless. I do feel like... Like, my dad had a plantation in the, you know, turn, you know, 1855, and you showed up, and all the blacks were working the field. I feel like if you were to come back a week later, they'd all be in the living room drinking iced tea, and my dad would be out in the field. That I happen to know. They can barely own cars.
How should I know?
Although he would knock off at 5, right?
I definitely would.
I have one quick question.
Yes.
What fountain would most members of the Jackson family have to drink out of? Beige?
Yes.
Yes.
The beige fountain.
Well, I've. That's a good point. What drinking fountain? So I do feel like while we'll have to answer, while our parents had to answer certain questions regarding race and things like that, the Jackson thing will be one of those. Like I feel like my kid's going to be going, this guy was the number one star in the universe. Yep. And then what happened to his nose? I don't know. He had some work. But didn't anyone ask what? Well, I guess we asked, but no one. But his kid is blonde. His kid looks like Macaulay Culkin. Didn't anyone ask if that was his kid? You know, it's sweetie. We had problems of our own. We didn't sweat the details like that. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, something we played a couple of few weeks ago, Devil Danny and Angel Adam.
Nice.
Yeah, you call up 866-901-ADAM, that's 866-901-ADAM, and you tell us about something you're thinking about doing. Was it, whether you're planning on, oh, I don't know, slashing your boss's tires, or cheating on your girlfriend, or what were the other topics? Well, anything.
Those are awful easy.
Most things that involve a decision. And we'll tell you, Angel and Devil.
How about killing your ex-wife?
Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be that dramatic. But
I have plans.
We will tell.
I've worked out the perfect murder.
Oh, yeah? All right. Yeah.
Well, we'll hear that.
It won't be perfect anymore because I've told it on the radio a couple times, but it's perfect. Well, it would have been.
We'll hear that after this. Also, we'll play a little Angel Adam and Devil Danny.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Do you got a tough decision to make? Let Adam Carolla and Danny Bonaducci help. It's Angel Adam and Devil Danny on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, it is. Well, I feel like we're both very well qualified and could probably wear either hat.
I was going to say that.
Could wear the halo or the horns.
Right.
Either way, we figure it'll be...
The alliteration is what won this over.
That's right. Angel Adam, Devil Danny. Let's get started.
Although it could have been A-hole Adam.
And Dickhead Danny?
Totally.
No, Delightful Danny.
Delightful.
Oh, yeah. Right, because that would be the same guy.
Got a moral dilemma? Ask Angel Adam.
Do not cheat in wedlock. It will haunt you.
Or Devil Danny.
Climbing over their corpses to the top of the food chain. I play hard.
Let's start with Victor on line 2. Victor?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
What's happening, Victor? Let it be known that you're starting in the hole already because phone screener Kyle has given you a C in terms of your ability to speak on the radio.
And my little brother-in-law has been shot twice serving his country. So there's where you're starting, Bunghead.
Oh, well, there's his question. Should he re-up in the Marines? Is that your question? And that's what you're alluding to, Danny?
Yes, it was. I'm sorry if I did that in advance.
Well, it's all right. It's just most people don't have a screen at home.
Right. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that. Not all of them, but 40.
Some new.
Adam, this is radio.
All right, would you like to go Angel Adam first?
Sure, why not?
So you want to... Well, ask your question, Victor.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just about finished with school. I'm using the GI Bill that they gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And just about finished with my bachelor's.
G.I. Bill would be my porn name, by the way. Thank you. Because I'm an American first. Porn actor second.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's run it on the flagpole, see who salutes.
That's what I would say every time.
Have you seen G.I. Joe's junk? It doesn't look right. It's all plastic.
Cami Condom.
Can we move forward?
Junk, by the way.
Cami Condom was Teresa's porn name.
Can we move forward?
All right, Victor.
I'm sorry.
All right, so... you know, I'm almost done with the degree, and I have about 6 months left to make my decision whether I want to
re-up.
I guess re-enlist, right?
In the Marines.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm curious why people sign up for the Marines. I mean, I guess because they mean it. I feel like I would go for the Air Force or the Navy.
Kiefer Sutherland, and I think it's a few good men, but I'm not positive. And he's talking to. A sailor, and he's a Marine, and he's being brought over to where the fighting is, and he looks at him and he says, I really like the Navy. Whenever we're fighting, you guys give us a ride.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what you do.
Serious guys.
That's what I'd want to do.
Me too.
Victor?
Yep.
I would like to give you a lift to the combat zone. So you want to know whether you should re-up, in which case you'll be heading to Iraq.
I've already been to Iraq, and, I actually got back from there in August.
Okay, in which case you would be heading back to Iraq.
C-minus, I think, more than a C+.
And what was your school? So you graduated Barber College. Where did you go? Where did you get your degree?
Oh, it's on base. It's at Park University.
A university that's on the base?
Right,
in the green zone?
No, well, it's over here in Camp Pendleton.
Oh, down San Diego.
I see. And what did you get your degree in?
In business.
In business.
Business management. Yes, it is.
All right. And if you re-up, then you're going back to Iraq.
There's a possibility I am, yep.
All right. I'm done.
Okay, let's just proceed as if this is going really well.
You didn't even tell him what to do, devil. Let me tell him to...
go ahead and tell him what to do. I've had an ass full here.
Here's what you do. You re-up. You go back over to Iraq. Now, there's all sorts of rules about killing people, which there shouldn't be, by the way. You should just be able to open fire, okay? If it's a guy's got a good tan like a surfer, that's enough to shoot him, okay? So you get over there, but they have rules, but they don't have rules about shooting pets. So you go into everybody's house, and you blow their dogs' brains out, and it demoralizes them beyond belief because they're very fond of their pets. And they go, hey, holy Toledo, this guy just killed my terrier. They're not playing. Let's all settle down.
Right. Okay, good. Except for the part where I don't know if they have the adage, holy Toledo.
No, they do. They love Toledo is holy to them.
Oh, I thought it's like Mecca. Holy Fallujah or something.
No, holy Mecca, holy Toledo, same thing.
Holy Fallujah sounds like...
How about holy cow all over India?
Well, that's a good point. All right, so Victor, I got tired of talking to because I feel like I was just chasing his tail.
No, just go to Iraq and kill all the animals.
Let's talk to my fault for starting with the C. Let's start with... I wasn't talking about you, Teresa. Let's talk to Aaron. Aaron?
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
What's the problem? Or the dilemma?
All right. Well, right now I'm with a girl. I've been with her about 7 months. She has two kids from a previous relationship. I was questioning the relationship at all, and she just got pregnant, and I'm really not sure whether I want to keep the kid and, you know, buck up and be a man or, you know, tell her to go ahead and have an abortion and move on with my life.
Hmm. Well, first off, would she listen to you if you told her just to go ahead and have an abortion?
Well, actually, she wants the kid, but she's already made an appointment for this Saturday, and basically it's kind of up to me to make the decision before that period.
She wants the kid, but she made an appointment at the abortion clinic?
Yeah, only because I asked her.
Do you love her, Aaron?
I can honestly say that I do have very strong feelings for her,
no.
and I do love her, but my fear factor is her previous children, and then, you know, the child that may be with us and just settling down.
Well, how old are you, Aaron?
I'm 26. I make okay money. I'm a superintendent for an interior design company. Mm. I mean, I'm...
Mm-hmm. And what about her kids? How well do you know them? How long have you been their sort of parental figure?
Well, I've been around for about 7 months. One of them is two. One of them is four. The four-year-old, I have a hard time getting along with, which is another dilemma.
Yeah, me too, and he's my own.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the way I would look at
Angel
it.
Adam.
Angel Adam. You were at a threshold here. 7 months. It's not 2 years. 26. Yeah. You're not 32, but you're not 22 either. Yeah. You know, she has some kids. You're right at a threshold. Here's my situation. If you step forward, because it's tough for the Angel Adam to tell you to go down to the clinic and get an abortion. If you step forward, and I suggest you do, don't look back. That's it. New family. Love the new kids as your own. Obviously, you love the unborn child because it is your own. But the stepkids, they are yours. And never do what you don't want to do. And I feel like a lot of guys do this. I feel like a lot of guys are in a relationship with one foot and sort of in a bachelor pad with the other foot, hanging with Estrada and Wilcox circa 1978 down at the marina. If you're in, you're in. Love the kids. Love the wife. Love the life.
I love that, Angel Adam.
Yeah, Adam.
Thank you.
That's lovely, Angel Adam. Now it's like to hear the truth.
Sure.
Devil.
Dump this breeding bitch in a hurry, okay? Those last two kids, not from the same dad. They're just to keep some guy like you trapped, just like this third kid. Not only can she make her appointment for the abortion clinic, when she goes in, that's when you run away, and you're not there when she comes out.
Aaron?
Yes, sir.
Well, there you go.
Was that helpful?
Well...
Thank you.
help is not... The bit's the issue. We're not helping anybody.
Ray wants to know if we should cheat on his girlfriend. Ray?
Hey there, Adam. Thanks for having me on.
What's happening?
So, I've been with this girl for about almost 4 years now, and about last Christmas, we were both pretty drunk.
Ooh,
I, however,
with
am
the
a-
S word.
Yeah, okay. You want to marry her and stuff like that.
Again, when people, first off, how much profanity do you actually hear on the radio that you think it's okay to drop an S-bomb and an F-bomb? But I do understand the cursing when you're repeating what somebody said. Like, I told the cop I was over 21, and he said he didn't give an ass. Like,
English,
when you do that,
you speak it?
I'm just repeating. But when you're just working it into your own casual story, and it could have been replaced by any other word,
yeah,
you really need to use it at that point.
My Christian wife, who said she wouldn't step one foot in the Playboy Mansion, I turned on this little website of hers last night where she's a beautiful singer.
Mm-hmm.
And the words to these songs, she's like, are filthy.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a shocker.
Yeah, you know, people ask me all the time, well, don't you wish you went over to XM or Sirius and whatever, and you could say whatever you want. I like the rules. I like the idea.
I was just saying.
I like the idea of playing football with a sideline instead of just being able to run as far as you want until you circle the globe and come back around again. It makes it more interesting. It's the difference between driving in a straight line and going around some pylons. I like the challenge of zigzagging around the pylons.
They also try and make it appealing by that there are no ratings. I like to know who I'm beating so I can continue to beat them. And I like to know who's beating me so I can figure out how to beat them and then beat them down.
What if you're beating you, then you have to continuously beat you, but then you're also looking to beat you as well.
I continuously beat me. Okay, just get used to that.
Ray?
Sorry about that, Adam.
I also realize that all people that swear are stupid because they have no control over their mouth. Their brain can't control
their
mouth.
On the radio or in life?
Oh, in radio.
To be fair, I've been up since about 2 in the morning, and I'm on my about 5th can of Red Bull right now.
What are you doing?
But stimulated. I'm processing a few model portfolios right now. That's what I was going to get to next, is that I do model portfolios. And for the first time ever in the past maybe 7 years that I've been doing this, I'm finally starting to fall for one of my models.
Yeah.
Now, I have no idea if I should cheat on my girlfriend because I'm going to be hanging out with that girl this weekend, or if I should forget about what I thought.
How old are you?
I am 24 now, Adam.
24. So you've been with this chick since you were 20.
Yeah.
And you found her being texted by somebody who suggested they should get married?
And it's been a lot more than that. I mean, her sister has also been telling me that, you know, she's been talking to some guy late at night and, you know, and stuff.
If her sister's trying to rat her out, I'm going to go ahead and say her family is flawed. I'm not a huge fan of this relationship. I know I'm supposed to be the angel. Maybe Danny will have advice that's a little more proactive.
Yeah.
But I would say this baby's run its course, and it probably ran its course 2 years ago. It's just when you're 20, your relationships coast to a stop. They don't stop. When you get a little bit older, you realize, you know what, this baby's over, and you stop the relationship. When you're young, they just coast. Don't coast to a stop. This baby's over. And by the way, don't you fall in love with every single portfolio you process? Because I feel like if I was processing model portfolios, I'd just fall in love with everyone I was getting into.
You know, pretty much everybody has told me that, but I don't know. I guess it's just my girlfriend.
Well, here's what I need to know. Can you actually have sex with the hot model for sure?
For this one, I know for sure.
Okay, here's Devil Dan.
Hold on. How do you know for sure?
I can just tell from the signs of the fact that she's been flirting with me pretty hard, and she's been trying to hang out with me as much.
Do that.
All right. Go ahead, Devil Dan.
Let me just assume as Devil Danny, because I don't necessarily believe all these things, being a baptized Christian. I'm just telling you where I used to live. Here's what I say, because I don't like your girlfriend. I don't like her getting texted. I don't like her sister. I don't like that lying text coming over that phone. It's the work of the devil, that text. So here's what you do. You make love to that beautiful model, and you make love to her hard and all night long. Then you go home to your girlfriend, and you tell her how sorry you are that you've been rude and hurtful, and you make out with her, and you kiss her, and you hug her, but you make sure not to shower first. Just leave a little of the last girl.
Put the stink of the last girl, little taste of the last girl for the new.
Oh, no.
I don't think he said something.
I think he said booby.
I think he said city.
I think he said something that rhymed with city.
Yeah.
Sex.
But was booby sex.
Yeah.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Can we move forward? How old are we? He said the T-word, the N-word, and then he touched your boobie.
Listen,
can we say boobies?
You can say the S-word.
Mel Brooks said hot boobie to the C-girl.
The bottom line is...
What playground are we all on?
Yeah, no kidding.
Ray is a real catch, and I'm sure any woman is going to be very sad.
No, he's got a real catch, and any else fool is going to catch it.
All right, so you don't wash the devil dog before you put it into the new bun.
Because there's nothing that will make you feel retribution like that.
We will take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, news, T, what's coming up
in it? Yes, well, take a quick listen to this. That's right, American Idol premiered last night.
Oh.
We're going to be talking about that. Brangelina made a very big move, and actor Paul Sorvino pulled a gun on someone to defend his daughter. I'll tell you why.
He loves his goddamn daughter. He's either crying in the audience of the Shrine Auditorium, or he's pulling a piece on somebody. Either way, my dad should hang out with that guy.
You will love this story.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
The Adam Carolla Show, your news leader. Live, local, late breaking. Teresa Strasser with the news that matters.
The woman cut open a tampon, put 2.5 grams of heroin, 10 morphine pills, and a small scalpel inside of it, and then put it where tampons go.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's my show, but it's Teresa's turn. Teresa Strasser with the news.
Probably not news to you if you've gotten up this morning and put your feet on the freezing cold floor or stepped outside, but it is bone-chillingly cold, not just here on the West Coast, but obviously throughout the country. This cold snap has left 54 dead in 9 states, from Texas to Maine. It's been Missouri, cold snaps even in Washington State.
That's what we call it, bum-killing cold.
Bum-killing cold, yep. Snarling traffic, closing schools for more than 380,000 students in Washington. Oregon legislature has been shut down for weather. And here in California, three nights of freezing weather have destroyed up to $1 billion in citrus crops. And our governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is going to be asking for some federal disaster aid.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sort of over news as it pertains to weather. I feel like we talk about hurricane season every year, and then we talk about the heat, and then we talk about the cold, and then we talk about the hurricane season, and then we talk about the heat, then we talk about the cold.
You realize, of course, you're Mark Twain.
Oh, I am?
Everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it.
Yeah, well, it was a very smart adage from a very smart man. I just feel like our memories are so short. I think you could go back this time last year.
June.
Yeah.
But
look,
then
until it gets up to 130 or down to minus 50, I'm done.
Yeah. An inconvenient truth. It's about 108 instead of 106.
Well, I'm not done with American Idol.
Yes.
Premiered last night. Before I get to that,
I will say if somebody would invent my goddamn heated sofa already, we would save millions on heating oil during these cold snaps. Dan, you weren't around for this portion of the show, but I've always said somebody has to heat a sofa because instead of heating your 7,000 square foot manor you live in, you just heat your ass in the room that you're in and you're fine. I mean, I spend, and I would reckon most families spend the lion's share of their evening just sort of planted in one room, sitting on one sofa and watching one TV. If that sofa was toasty hot, you wouldn't need to heat the rest of the house.
See, our room is the giant bed where we all pile in and watch the big screen TV.
Well, then heat it, the bed.
Electric blanket. It's the greatest thing ever.
And let me say this in general, because I feel like there's a lot of naysayers out there. I feel like there's a lot of people who just feel like if you're going to pull the rope toy this way, they're going to pull the other way, like you're some kind of Labrador. Knock it off. I brought up the heated sofa to 100 people, and 75 of them have said, "Hey, man, how are you going to pull that off? That sounds like a fire hazard to me. That sounds technologically too difficult to me." Really? Half the cars on the road have a heated seat.
Right.
They've seemed to work it out in the automobile. I assume they can work it out in your sofa. And by the way, 10 seconds after the electric blanket was introduced to the people in 1951, the technology was there. It was safe, and it was possible. It would probably add $85 to the cost of every sofa. So shut up, you people. I painted my refrigerator. I painted it. That's right. I didn't want to look at stainless steel. I wanted to look at terracotta color because I'm that way.
Well, and I painted it. Zero and you painted it.
I painted it and I took the doors off, not the panels, the entire doors off. And I took it to an auto body place and they sprayed it with a special primer that they use for stainless steel, just like if you were going to paint the car from Back to the Future, a DeLorean stainless steel. They painted it and then they painted it with auto body paint. They did the same thing they do to the hood of your car. And then when I brought it home, every second person that came into my house said, "Oh, how's that going to hold up? You think that's going to work? You think that's going to hold up?" And I said, "What about your car hood, bitch? Yeah, how's that hold up? It's 170 degrees. You can fry an egg on it, and then a seagull craps on it.
What
does that hold up okay?" I surround myself with people that do a lot of, "Hey, how's that going to? Are you sure that's going to?" Which is sort of implying that your idea is foolish or foolhardy, whatever. I painted my oven, too, and they said the same thing. "Ooh, that gets hot. How's that going to?" Again, the hood of your car in Granada Hills in August is 155 degrees. You think the outside of your oven gets that hot? There'd be a lawsuit if it did. Thank you. Okay. Shut up and thank you.
Well,
go ahead, T.
Nice.
Along with a lot of other people, Adam, that don't like to hear no, one contestant last night on American Idol didn't like to hear no, and a lot of them did.
What happened?
Season 6 premiered last night. They were in Minneapolis, and Jewel was one of the guest judges.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that a huge Jewel fan named Jessica came, and she just so happened to have a Jewel song to sing. So first, let's take a little listen of Jessica singing Jewel.
"I kinda like it in my brand new place. I wipe the sparks for me, leave the keys in the door, and I've don't towel the floor anymore, cause dreams
devolves right around here. She holds it together for the judging, and then she gets outside the door and melts down.
Oh,
This is Brian's favorite part of the show. For me, I don't want...
This is just unreal. Like, I'm like trying to wait for them to like come out here and be like, psych.
It's a very sad testimonial about our society that people enjoy this so much. We love to just sit there like vultures on a branch and go, look at her. She thinks she's hot, but her arms are fat and she can't sing and she thinks she's all that, but she's such a bad singer. Look at this person that thinks they have this or thinks they look like that, right, and look how bad they are. I assume that 99.9% of society has no talent and no singing voice. I don't need to see it shown over and over and over again. I don't understand it.
Of humanity also being bad. Do you agree with that?
Bad at whatever their job is.
Yeah, okay.
Bad at whatever their relationship
is. I can dress different all day and I can't fix anything and we're still the same guy. These kind of things.
I just feel like I flipped it on 20 minutes in. It's a 5-hour mini special.
I think it was 6.
Felt like 9. And I flip it on, and there's some fat chick who's butchering some Seal song, and it's like, yeah, we get it. Yeah. She can't sing, and then cut to Simon, eyes rolling, cut to Jewel looking down at her lap. By the way, Paula Abdul, who I'm obsessed with, nobody gets more money per syllable than Paula Abdul.
Yes.
Now, Jay Leno, he makes 25, 30 million bucks, or Letterman.
Not by the syllable.
I make pretty good dough. I know a lot of people that make pretty good dough, but by the syllable?
Oh,
hell no. I watched 25 minutes of it. She said one word.
Last night, she was particularly silent, and the entire show was basically, you show the bad singer, you cut to Paula Abdul making a sour face.
Right.
Then you show another bad singer, and then you cut to Randy rolling his eyes.
And then they come back, and it's like, Randy, what'd you think? Little pitchy. I wasn't feeling it, dog. Simon, that was the worst, most atrocious. Paula, what do you think? She shakes her head no.
Yeah.
Jewel, what do you think? I don't know. I'm gonna go no on this one. On to the next thing. See, she literally shakes her head. I mean, I don't know what Paula Abdul makes a year. I imagine it's at least $5-6 million.
You think it's $5 million?
I know, well, it's way the F up there.
I know it's over $2.5 million.
She's getting paid like $270,000 per syllable.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what she makes. She makes us laugh. When we hear some of her delightful interviews.
Not intentional.
Not necessarily me. Did you see her last video?
Hold on. Her last musical video?
Yeah.
No, she makes us laugh like when the trainer steps in the hippo crap.
Yes.
That kind of laugh. Unintentional,
she
but we're still laughing.
She didn't laugh that hard when she did a song. Basically, I forget the name, but the whole theme is, at least my life doesn't suck as bad as this guy's. And it was me. All the way through the song.
Paula Abdul?
All the way through the song. No, Jewel.
Oh, Jewel.
All the way through the song.
Jewel made fun of
all the way through the song. They show me bashing stuff down, and then she go, life's better than it.
Well, bring that thing in.
I don't have a copy of it. Why don't I get a copy of that? But I know it exists. You can go get it.
Well, we're going to be talking more Idol later in the show. Mm-hmm. But that was just a quick tease.
Mm-hmm. And a nice quick tease it was.
Thank you. Now, Brangelina has made a big decision.
Mm-hmm.
They have moved their family to New Orleans. They will send their 3 children to school there. This according to Us Weekly magazine. They say they love it there, and they also want to bring attention to the hurricane-ravaged city. They bought a $3.5 million
house. Hold on, hurricane
house.
Hit that region of the country?
Yeah. Katrina?
Well, had not heard until Brangelina decided to move in. I heard about it for the first time yesterday.
They wouldn't build a city there. It's below water level.
Come on now.
Never do that when they're stupid.
Yes, no,
focus.
It did. A hurricane
next
hit.
You know, you're going to be telling me they have a football team
have
that's
I
in the playoffs.
Have I mentioned, Adam, that there's a cold snap? Yes.
Good name for TV, by the way. Cold snap.
Well, Brad is filming a movie there called The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, but they've decided to move there semi-permanently because what they do is they use their celebrity to bring awareness to important causes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I believe them, it's cool, but if I don't believe them, I just want to hit them in the head with a bat.
Now, here's a story you're going to like. You know Paul Sorvino? He was in Goodfellas.
Speaking of hitting people in the head with a bat, you're my boy.
Paulie, yeah.
You love Goodfellas, Adam.
Great movie.
Your favorite.
Great movie.
Now, he loves his daughter, Mira, but this story involves another of his daughters. He has a 36-year-old daughter named Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
And Amanda was having an incident with an ex-boyfriend who allegedly threatened to kill her at a hotel in Vermont. She locked herself in the bathroom. She made 2 phone calls. She called her pops, Paul Sorvino, and she called the cops. Guess who got there first?
Pops.
Pops made it first. with a gun. And he threatened to kill the guy.
I knew this guy was Father of the Year when I saw him bawling his brains out when Mira won the Oscar. He was just in the audience and he was drowning in his own tears.
Love that man. Opera singer, chef, what do you want?
You gotta love it. Well, the guy's only 21.
So Pops is in Vermont as well, or he's in Kentucky and he just hightails it across five
states.
Really?
That's how much
reappears.
He loves his daughter. He obviously must have been in the environs.
In the hotel,
happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she, he got there before the cops, and she testified yesterday. He wasn't in court, but the guy was charged with disorderly conduct and arrested. He's still in jail now.
What happened to Paul?
And Pops, came with a handgun.
This could be a problem.
Nice.
He might not go free on this.
Well, I hope he does, because if I called my dad and an ex-boyfriend was threatening to kill me in a bathroom, I would hope he would show up with a loaded gun.
Well,
let me do a quick.
Go ahead.
I'll do a quick reenactment of what that conversation would go like with my dad. First off, hello. That's my stepmom, because my dad would never pick up the phone. Put Jim on the phone. Would you? It's always weird what to call your dad to your stepmom.
Yes,
that's the whole thing with the step family is always weird. You know, put my dad.
I feel awkward saying my.
My, because he's not your dad. Yes. You're not my mom is the thing. But then it's also weird calling your dad Jim.
I know.
It's always weird. As a matter of fact, any step parent, don't answer the phone.
Yes,
it's too weird. It's too put my dad on the phone, fake mama. Fake mom, please. put Jim on the phone. Whatever it is, but it would go like this. Could you put Jim on the phone? My dad would stumble over the phone like 20 minutes later, and it'd be like, Dad, there's a crazy broad. She's got a machete. She's trying to kick down the door. I'm in the bathroom with Ambassador. And he'd say, who's this?
Okay, two things. One, if you've ever seen anybody shoot at me, because there's plenty of them, it's 1-866-901-ADAM. Seriously, if you've watched me be shot at, because there was quite a crowd, feel free to call. But I'll tell you right now, my daughter called and said, I'm in trouble.
Right.
Mickey Spillane's first book, he shoots a girl 1 inch below the navel, gut shot, so it's going to take a long time to die and it's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, how could you? And the last lines of the book is, it was easy.
But Danny,
easy for you to shoot Mickey Spillane?
He's dead now.
To shoot whoever.
You mess with my daughter. She really is in fear for her life.
Well, this is one of the things I love about you, Danny, because you're very protective and loyal of your family. But your daughter's going to be dating age pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm going to be okay about it. I'm not that weird about it. Like, there's things that are going to happen that are going to happen.
Yeah,
I'm just a guy that will be bad for her and isn't going to get an education, isn't going to get a job. I'll put a stop to that. But
wait till she brings back the goth guy. Though.
Yeah, she's going to bring the goth
looking
guy,
looking like a roadie from Corn.
You know what? The goth guys are fairly bright. They read. It's part of being goth is to be fairly bright.
Hey, you're that old dude who was in that band.
Hey, what, you're the Partridge Family dude?
Danny, what if the guy breaks your daughter's heart? He doesn't hurt her or threaten her, but he just breaks her heart. What do you do?
In a fair square thing, they just broke up and she has a broken heart. Nothing.
She cheats on him. What do you do? I mean, he cheats on her.
He cheats
on her. I break his arm.
Okay.
One arm.
Does that first thing pop in my mind? Whatever I break.
Okay, it's good to know. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
All right. Now, Brian, don't go anywhere because...
I'd like to stop hurting people for a while. We'll be back in the nice, Danny.
We were talking about Access Hollywood, or at least I was talking about it. I was watching it last night. And there was this whole thing. What is that fashion chick's name, Teresa?
You're talking about Stacey London from What Not to Wear.
Yeah, they had her out on the red carpet, and she was dishing the dirt about what everyone was wearing and who looked great and who looked horrible. And then Beyonce showed up. Now, Stacey London is the most Jewish woman I think I've ever seen.
Well, wait
camera.
A second. What about Golda Meir?
Tie.
Okay.
It's a tie. Golda's not around anymore,
no.
Is she? All right, well, then she's the most Jewish living woman on TV.
Right.
And then Beyonce popped up in her gold lame, and here's how that exchange went.
You wore gold to the Golden Globes. You go.
Shut up.
Oh, no. Please, no.
Yeah, except where we cut out one of the girl in front of it. And I'm not sure why we water down our good ideas, but we'll get back into that in a second. Yeah. But the point is she was doing the, hey, girl, oh, you go, girl, oh, get out of here, girl. And I thought, right, whenever you're Whitey. Around a black person, you have to do that hey, girl, hey, go, girl. And then I thought,
I'd be mad.
Has there ever been an instance when a black woman was around a Jewish woman and Jewed it up?
Yes.
There has been.
Vote that dress.
Black women Jew it up when you're being.
I can't believe you're wearing it. I want to nosh right now.
Gentiles will Jew it up a little bit.
But not like the Jewish woman will black it up when she's talking to Beyonce, and not like the white chick will black it up when she's talking to Beyonce. Yes. I'm just saying black people don't white it up or Jew it up when they're talking to us. Why do we constantly black it up?
Because I think we have no personalities of our own, and that's why we're white.
I want to know. I want to know if there's anyone out there, if we have as it turned out, a larger black listening audience than the three I'd initially anticipated or estimated. I want to know, I feel like if I was black, and I, from watching these shows at least, and I know I've been guilty of it myself, I say man all the time when I'm talking to black people. Hey, man, what's happening, man? Hey, man, you got to listen to me, man.
Do you say it in that accent?
No, but I'll overuse the word man, and I'll try to weave in my one black friend.
Oh,
it's like David Alan Greer was saying to me just the other day when he invited me into his home because we're good friends.
Yes.
I'll find any reason to shake hands.
Oh, a lot of handshaking going on, too.
I know the secret ending to any handshake that makes you cooler than the other guy. There's a secret ending thing you can do.
Does it have the word happy in front of it?
No, just do the first part.
Okay. Right?
Adam, this is radio.
Right? Oh, point. Yeah.
That's always a point.
Point, and I like to pull away and do the hit off the doobie.
This is amazing.
If you're black and you're listening and you have a telephone, I want you to call us at 866-901-ADAM.
True that, peeps.
I just feel like this is something that must go on every day if you're black.
Yes, well, this is an interesting point.
And they're aware of it.
I try to weave in my black stepfather frequently when I'm around the black folks. So
that's
they
right.
They fit in.
They want you to know you're cool.
Yeah, I want them to feel comfortable.
Not hood you. How come all these black people have weaves?
Now, Stacey London, I'll get to that, but Stacey London, who you just played, she's the host of What Not to Wear, she does Oprah a lot, and she doesn't talk like that on Oprah because
Oprah
has been accused of speaking white.
Well, Oprah will also black it up when she's around.
Right.
When Will Smith comes, hey, raise the roof! You know, all of a sudden Oprah...
Roof's on fire.
Oprah turns total ghetto when Will Smith comes on the show.
It's a natural thing when you're talking to anybody to try to mirror them a little.
Anything that is a progressive change is by definition not natural.
I would say...
When I talk to Danny, I always talk about getting shot and doing crack.
We talk about...
I think there's
two types of racism. There's the type of racism where it's just overt, where it's like, hey, let's go lynch that N-word. And then there's the type of more sort of underlying racism, and this is more the left-wing racism, where it's like, these people, we have to lower the test scores, we're going to black it up when we talk to them. To me, one of the greatest examples of that was all the super left-wing, bleeding-heart liberals who were talking about what was going on in the Superdome, and people were coming out and they were saying, there's rapes going on in there. Kids are being sodomized. These people are eating their own fecal matter. And all Whitey did was go, well, Bush doesn't care about black people. Nobody said, what the hell's going on in there? What's wrong with those people? What the implication was, it was very racist. We took a bunch of black people. We put them all together. And of course they're going to start raping each other and eating each other. It's almost like we were zookeepers and someone said, hey, the lions are eating the penguins. And someone yelled, well, why did we put them together?
Yeah, I was like, hey, dude, do you have those Christians? Because I have these lions and I think this will be really funny.
It was a horribly racist thing, and all the super white lefties got into this. They started yelling at Bush, they started yelling at Cheney, they started yelling at everybody except for the people that were accused of raping the 3-year-old. And the implication was, they're black, they're animals, they don't know what they're doing, we should have never put them together. You don't put black people together without supervising them.
Don't mess with Texas.
Just like the zoo. It was racist, and it was perpetrated by the people that always cry racism.
Yes.
Thank you.
The phone lines have lit up.
We will take a break. I want to talk to black people and see if Whitey is talking black to them and giving them the handshake and doing the man and doing the you go girl and the whole nine yards after this.
Welcome.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
This go to a living.
If you said this is Spinal Tap.
These go to 11.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was watching Access Hollywood last night, doing a little coverage. Fashion from the Golden Globe. Stacey London.
Homework. Really?
Homework. That's right. That's
prep,
what I,
prep,
that's what I say to Jack Silver when I'm passing him on the breezeway there at 10:03. Got to hustle home.
You know,
do some homework.
To be honest with you, you're right. Nothing funny happens in an office building.
That's right.
It's true. Nothing funny is going to happen in here when the show's over. We're all going to sit around. But if you go out to the parking lot and you've got a flat tire and you got only me to fix it, you're screwed and you've got a bit for the morning.
Well, doing morning radio is a lot like one of those jobs where it's like having a office inside your house. There's nothing you can't write off when the tax man shows up. The phone, the car, the staples, everything gets written off. That's how it is doing morning radio. Everything you see, everything you hear, every idea you have, you get to bring in and use. I was watching Access Hollywood last night, and I saw Stacey London, who's on What Not to Wear.
Yeah, on TLC.
Who is, again, arguably, we've decided was a tie for Gold in My Ears, the first most Jewish woman ever put on the planet, but she's the only living.
Right.
So thus, she holds the belt.
Most Hebraic.
Right.
The most Hebraic
she'd still hold the belt, sure.
That's right. So
unless they retired Golda's jersey.
She is. She is. It's hoisted up in the rafters. If you,
I can't believe I even knew that.
That's a shul. You know why? Because you're chewing it up to talk to me.
I know, man. I'm sporting it up to talk to him.
People are always dropping in their Yiddish.
I'm chewing it up to hit on you. I'm sporting it up to talk to him.
Well, whatever you're doing up. She was blacking it up when Beyonce hit the stage, and because we're idiots over here, we just cut off the part where she said, girl, you're wearing gold lameda, the whatever, but let's hear what she had to say. And everyone put girl as the first word. Remember, we lopped off the all-important girl.
Girlfriend.
Right.
You wore gold to the Golden Globes. You go.
Girl.
Right. She started with, girl, you are. And she didn't say that to anybody else. And I realized, well, she was blacking it up. And then I yelled at my wife, do any black people Jew it up when they're talking? If there was a black news reporter and a Jewish woman came over to interview, you think she would be Jewing
so
it up?
I was watching that same show and I'm with my wife and I yelled, die, bitch. Oh, sorry. Did that come out loud?
Yes. So my wife, of course, told me to shut up and to relax.
Thank you.
And whenever she gives me the relax thing, I always tell her, look, when I start relaxing, then we can take back the cars take back the houses and take back everything.
When my wife says don't talk so much, I say start selling stuff.
That's romantic.
Well, it's
Let's
true.
Talk to some of our black callers.
So when Danny goes on a diatribe, you got to have a lawn sale.
You want to back the hell up. If you want me to be quiet, lower your voice. You don't have to talk so much. You always have an opinion on everything. Baby, sell your house, because that's how we bought it.
Well, that's what I yell at my wife as well. And also, Kyle says line 9 is the way to go. Now we have Tony, our black guy, who's on
Master
line 9.
And a couple of guys.
But now I'm putting the word out to all my black peeps.
Yeah.
I'm putting the word out. Do you guys, does everyone talk black to you? Does Whitey talk black to you?
Is it offensive, or is it just like people are trying to relate?
Right. Tony?
Yeah, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
You're a new black
guy. Okay, you're perfect.
Now, Tony, does this happen in your life?
It depends on the dudes I'm dealing with. I got this cat. He's always talking about the corporate world, and he's over here talking about, yo, man, yo, dog, hey, homie. Then he says, oh, hold on, this is my job. Hey, how you guys doing?
Right.
He's a black guy.
Yeah,
or a white guy.
Well, he's a pseudo black guy. How about that?
Yeah, now what do you guys not like more?
Yeah, actually he is a black guy in a suit, but he's a pseudo-suit black guy.
But do you judge him for talking what you
he's
call
the
white?
Defendant.
Yeah, to a certain extent, because he's not being real, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's not being himself. Like,
they call those traitors, they call him Benedict Arnold from Different Strokes.
Exactly. I have one quick question that just happened already that I wouldn't have had a question about.
What are you talking about, Adam?
That was, he did this, he did that, he's wearing a suit, you know what I'm saying? Do you assume we don't know what you're saying, or is it just a colloquialism to say, know what I'm saying?
Hey, I really don't care.
That's just a time. That's just a, they're just buying a little time.
You know, I talk the way I talk. I'm the person I am. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be like that. That's how it's going to be. Right. I know the appropriate situations to kind of keep my slang to a minimum. But, yo.
Well, they, like, if you got pulled over by white cops, you wouldn't black it up as opposed to sipping gin and juice with some of the boys from the hood.
Yeah, it's a certain amount of comfortability, you know, but it all depends on the situation.
All right. Well, I want to talk to some civilians, as it were, weren't involved with our show.
Whenever I get pulled over, I black it up.
I will black it up. It's a black cop. Hey, man, give me five, bro. Erica?
Yeah?
You are a woman of color?
I am.
Mm-hmm. And how old are you?
I'm 36.
And what do you do for a living?
I am a United States postal worker.
Right. Shocking. Black woman toting the mail. never seen that before. It's usually just Asians and Jews and American Indians.
It's just a big sign that says there's always work at the post office.
Not that there isn't a large percentage of Jews and Asians and Native Americans at my facility, but I am one of few colored.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Because I
there's about two in the building.
All right. Now, do you find white America blacks it up around you?
You know, it's so annoying to the point that it's just, they'll come and they'll touch your hair. Oh, let's get your hair done and whatnot. I can't have my hair like that. You can't have braids. Why would you want braids?
So it's condescending, right?
Yeah,
like I'll tell you something. White women, most white women don't like the big, long acrylic nails and don't like the crazy hairdos, but we'll go way over the top saying how beautiful your nails are and how I wish.
Can you give me the number and where'd you get that done?
I wish I could do that with my hair, girl. Now, but again, that's just them sucking up to you. Don't you look at it as them just trying to be nice and suck up to you?
Yeah, the intention is probably positive.
No, I don't think that I white it up. So, you know, if we're going to connect, we're going to connect regardless. So, you know, you can just talk to me, weather, sports.
Right. So, ultimately what we're saying is even well-intentioned racism is sort of racism.
It's still racism. Yes.
Because you're noticing a difference. You are looking at the color of somebody's skin and you're saying, I will act different around this person because of the color of their skin.
You know what made me first think of this, where I thought you might be going with this? Are you sometimes go out of your way to be nicer to a guy in a wheelchair?
Oh, yeah.
Make friends with him first, be the guy that makes friends with them.
Well, on the same topic, I'll go out of my way to be nicer to black people all the time so they don't think I'm racist.
Right.
If we have five interns and one of them's black, four of the interns is, listen, Dillweed, hustle down to the Staples and grab a big jumbo sack of coffee and get it back in. And by the way, if you're not back in 13 minutes, your ass is fired.
Right.
The black guy's like, hey, man.
Jerron off the hizzle.
Great to have you aboard. Hey, man. You know what? I was going to send you out to go ahead and go on a lunch run, but you know what? I'll do that. You hang here. Sit
right.
in my chair.
If you truly didn't see color, you would call the black intern at Dillweed and send him on his way.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, I would if there is a big lump of a white guy, if there's some guy like poor Kyle over here, looks like a Ewok with a thyroid condition. If there's a guy like Kyle over there, it's a, hey, lump, why don't you hustle your fat ass out to the store and make with the Starbucks? No way.
And if you can throw in a supercut while you're there, that'd be good.
Yeah. No way would you say to your black intern, hey, man, hustle down. Go get me some coffee. Let's go. And you know how I like it? Well, look in the mirror. I would never say that, although that is funny.
That is funny.
I think most white people don't end up hanging out with a lot of people from different cultures, and they're confused and lost. They don't know what to do. I actually have brothers who are brothers,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm very accustomed to being around that culture, and I don't feel compelled to necessarily change how I talk.
Black stepfather, right?
Yes.
Let's talk to Glover. Glover?
You're the weirdest Jew ever.
I know.
What's happening, Glover?
What's up?
So what do you think about this topic, white America blacking it up when they're around people of color?
They're lost. That's the bottom line, is they're straight lost. You got some cats, like my boy Cyrus back east.
Mm-hmm.
He lived nothing but in the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
He got cats like out here in suburban America that just have no clue and just, let me try to be like these cats and just fit in.
Mm-hmm. No? But I would ask all of the black folk that are listening to this show right now, don't hold it against us.
We're trying.
It's almost like when people do that thing where, like, a woman goes out on a date with a guy and you go, hey, how'd the date go? And it's like, he was trying too hard. He was talking too much. Right. He was pulling the chair out. He was doing this whole thing. And I have people say all the time, he never stopped talking about his business. He never stopped talking about, right. you know, playing ball in high school. And I always say, well, okay, maybe he was a blowhard. Maybe he's a braggart. Maybe he was talking too much. But ultimately, he was trying to impress you because he's interested in you and he was nervous.
And usually the girl doesn't do much. And when you can start off, I got a story to tell. And we're at dinner, I can tell it. And if she doesn't want to talk, because every book in the world will tell you, you let her start to talk about herself. Well, if she doesn't want to, you got to jump in.
Women hold that against guys all the time on first dates. A guy never stopped talking about himself. He never stopped talking about how successful his business ventures were and stuff like that. And I say, he's just trying to impress you.
Right. On the other hand, I think if a white person comes up to a black man and says, yo, brother, what up? You should just smack him and call him a cracker.
All I'm saying is this is Whitey trying to impress you on our first date.
And like Erica, our postal worker said, someone talking about her nails or wanting to touch her braids or whatever, obviously that would be annoying, but they're trying to relate on some level.
Do you know how many people want to see my pubic hair to see if it's red?
We've already seen
it. See what I mean? And I've worked here 2 weeks.
Also,
that's very annoying.
Also, I do feel the other super racist thing that Whitey does is try to work a little hoops conversation in.
That's the worst.
When you're talking to a black man between the ages of 15 and 35, you will work some hoops into the conversation.
Adam, see if you can do it with one of our callers.
James,
you can't do it with me.
Yes, good morning. How you doing, Adam?
What's going on, brother?
Nothing much. Nothing
Lakers
much.
Looking good, right?
Yeah. Kobe's back's looking good.
Shaquille's still throwing bricks.
Yeah. I think he's getting too many touches.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to share the rock. Am I right?
Right.
Right, my brother?
Right. Yeah, basically, I mean, sometimes, you know, it depends on the individual black person, like myself. I mean, I grew up in the ghetto, but, you know, I'm not a highly educated person, but, you know, I'm somewhat educated. So, you know, for me, on an intellectual level, that's, you know, the way to conversate
Well,
with me.
Would you find that most white people will say man a lot and work in basketball a lot and just do that sort of generally act different around you or converse differently around you than he would with another coworker, for example?
Well, I would say, you know, sometimes, but not most of the time, because, you know, a lot of people, the white people that I'm around, you know, they just, you know, treat me like a regular person. I don't have any situations where, you know.
You don't notice any difference?
I don't notice any difference.
What do you do?
I'm in construction.
You're in construction?
Is that unusual, Adam?
It is out here. I mean, in Southern California, I've worked with 10,000 Mexicans. Yeah.
A white foreman or whatever.
The actual number is about 10,000 Mexicans. And when I say Mexican, I mean everybody.
Everybody south of the border.
Sure. Everyone south of the border. I can't figure
out. Because I switched now. My maid's not Mexican and her husband is not Mexican either.
Everybody between Tijuana and Cape Horn is really who I consider Mexican. Because that's the way I roll. I work with 10,000 Mexicans, 38 white guys, and one black guy named
Slick. Do you know what it is? That's the Alamo. You're describing the Alamo.
We're actually building the Alamo. Dee Dee?
Yeah.
You're a black woman?
I think so, yeah.
Now, have you found that people treat you differently?
I have found that, yes. And I do notice it with my husband as well. When we go to the store, the first thing the white guy will say is, hey, what's up, bro?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Right.
And he'll just go ahead and talk to him. But when you walk away, best believe we are saying, why the hell is this guy saying, bro? Why you know, just talk to us as if we're normal. You know, I mean, we do have a dialect that differentiates us from other people. And you can automatically tell on the phone when you speak to some of us, which is true. Yeah. You know, but I have common sense. And I don't want to hear the Pasheezy.
Oh, no. Dee Dee, do people do that?
No white people do that.
Yes.
They do not.
I swear. Yes.
Who can even spell off the hizzy?
I'm like, Rasheezy, shut up. Don't say that to me.
All right, so...
You got double Jeezy?
Thank
you.
Because you can't say my kneesy, right? You can't say that.
No.
No, unless you're talking about your niece.
Yeah, exactly.
Or your niece.
Or you'd be on your kneesies. Yeah.
Exactly. Dee Dee will kick you down to your kneesies.
Say that.
All right, girl, keep it real.
Keep it real.
Yeah, so what we've learned is... They don't like it. When I say they, I mean everyone other than white people, don't like it when Whitey tries to black it up. We have Dave on the phone. He's Latin.
Walk away,
there's a little bit of Mexican in it up, too, but not nearly as much as blacking it up. Dave?
Yeah.
You have a question?
Well, just a minute ago, I heard you say that you go out of your way to be nice to black people so that they could think you're not racist.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you're admitting that you are a racist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He got that when he said it.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I don't mind a guy who's a racist who doesn't do anything about it, just like I don't mind a guy who's a murderer who never kills anybody.
Right.
Or an arsonist who never starts a fire. I feel like racist is the one thing you can be without actually ever doing anything, whereas, again, you're not a murderer unless there's a body, you're not an arsonist unless something's on fire. I think we can call people racist all day long. Call me whatever you want. I've never done a harmful thing to anyone of any other race based on their race.
The other thing as far as...
I've killed 1,000 black people, but I've never done it because they're black.
No, exactly. They were a pain in the ass. They wouldn't return your power tools.
That's right.
But when you
they're
say
in the wrong neighborhood,
Adam
keep going.
Is a racist because he's nicer to black people to prove he's not a racist, there's 1,000 explanations for that. One is white guilt. You can always do that one too, man.
Right.
You can always do the, hey, you know, this guy's got it harder than me. It's harder for him to get in college. It's harder for him to get a good job. He, you know, it's a tough minority. Let me try and go out of my way. Or you can just be trying to be cool. Now, that doesn't fit, Adam, as far as I'm concerned, trying to fit in. I don't see that with you.
I feel that there's a lot of people that play the racist card or get labeled as racist, but and maybe they make racial jokes, and maybe they think racist things, but what are their racist actions? Have you not hired somebody because they were this color? Have you intentionally sought out somebody because they were that color and done something bad to that person? I don't know anyone who's done that. I know people have made 10,000 racist jokes. I don't know anyone who's ever physically done anything about it. And I say, well, if that's racism, bring it on. Because like I said, if everyone is a murderer, but there's never a body, then that's a utopia.
Right.
I agree with you for the most part. But if a friend or somebody I've just makes a racist joke or says something about getting Jude down, I can't be that person's friend anymore.
No, I would say something too.
I wouldn't say anything.
Jew,
I just
black,
wouldn't hang
Mexican,
out with him.
I just, if you think you can say that in front of me, you've made an opinion about me.
Yeah.
I can't have that.
Yeah. I don't like Jude Down either.
I saw that on the opening of the People's Court with Judge Wapner, the opening episode. This guy was up there and he goes, so then I did this, and the guy tried to Jew me down. His first words on the first episode of Judge Wapner.
Well,
I remember it. And Judge Wapner went, well, I don't care much for that expression, but it will not count against you in my final word.
Well, listen, I know we have to. By the way, Judge Wapner, hey, Jew, I know we have to go to break, but I'll tell you, when your name is Teresa and I look very Latin, People feel free to make anti-Semitic comments around me because they're pretty sure that I'm Mexican. And so I get a lot of, I'm going to Jew him down. And then I just go along with it.
A lot? When you say a lot, you mean a lot. Who says
fairly
that?
Fairly regularly.
Really?
Surprisingly.
Anybody in this room say I'm going to Jew him down in the last decade?
I probably hear it about twice a year.
Oh, I've definitely said it comedically. I love racial jokes. I wouldn't say it seriously.
But you have said, okay.
Oh, yeah, Jew down?
Yeah.
Sure.
As a joke or something, that's fine with me. I'm not saying anything about it. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that you've heard it because I would never think.
It's one of my favorite. I like Yid as well.
But I'm the guy that just told his friend to shoot his pregnant girlfriend. Okay, you guys are making jokes.
We I believe we do have now the original clip of Stacey London from the red carpet in Access Hollywood speaking to Beyonce.
Girl. You are gold to the Golden Globes. You go.
Shut up.
Carol. And Beyonce, I'm sure, is thinking, this white bitch. I want to say something, but I don't.
When
she said shut up.
When I look at Beyonce, I think white bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
Beautiful, beautiful, creamy.
She hit the beach a couple of times. That's it.
We need to take ourselves a break. God, I'm glad that everyone jumped out on
this.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. We took it. When I say we, I mean you, because I was going, what the hell's Corolla doing? We had to take a real shot on this, and it was a home run.
We need to, so we'll get into this later on in weeks to come, but we need to keep moving, keep evolving. We want to do some American Idol talk. I believe we have some clips and some things like that. We'll do that. Also, Donald Logue is coming in, Knights of Prosperity.
He's here. I love him. I'm a big fan.
What was that last show he was in before that?
I don't know, but he's got
Grounded
that.
Grounded for Life.
He's got that movie coming up, Flaming Chopper Homo
Ghost
Guy.
Riders.
Yeah, just seeing the spot. Take a quick break. Be right back with American Idol Talk after this. Yeah.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Can I have the yes or no?
No, the singing, no, 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 no.
It's enough.
Are you kidding me?
We're trying to find the best. That was so far and away from it. There's other things to be great at. You don't have to be a singer.
The good news today is you found out that you're not going to be.
It's an American Idol recap with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's the show I love to hate.
Ours?
Yes. I've said this about American Idol. I really do. I have said this before about myself. I think of myself as a time traveler who was sent to this particular moment in history, not to change anything or share any messages or spread any news or gather any information, but to be effed with by people. I'm a time traveler from a different galaxy who showed up to be tortured by other human beings, and then I'll die.
And that's what I love. Sorry, my dad.
That's what I am.
Chief amongst one of those torturing you is Prince.
I feel like the second I announced in 1985, I can't stand this guy. It's been nothing but Prince ever since. And the second American Idol. And the other thing that drives me insane, Brian, get a microphone next to that soup cooler of yours. Every time I say to somebody, because it's always American Idol talk, look, I get it. In week number 7, when
it's
you get down to your final 8, and you love that guy from Mississippi,
right,
whose dad died in a flood, and you're pulling for the kid.
Yeah, I love that one.
You right. kill a kid because he has a mild Down syndrome or he's dyslexic.
Yes.
I understand that part of the show. You've picked your pony,
yes,
and you're going to try to cheer it on till it gets to the finish line. But every time I say that to somebody, Kimmel's the same way. Brian over here mm-hmm. does the sound effects exact okay. same way.
That's
every
right.
time I do that, they go, oh, no, my favorite part's the beginning when all those losers are trying out. I tune out at the end.
That's right.
Why are you laughing with me?
I have no time or tolerance for people who are singing songs I don't care about, which happens,
yeah,
like you said,
Aiken.
In week 7
and
week 8.
Who cares about Clay Aiken?
I don't care.
I care. It's a competition,
but,
then. It's why
yeah.
you watch a sporting event.
The beginning, I can go watch Jack Silver and Leo the Film Freak down at Dimples get loaded. Brian, by the way, that would be your cue
yeah.
to pull up Jack Silver and Leo the Film Freak down at Dimples.
Does everybody have one of these,
by the way,
boss?
Thank you for snapping in action. But if I want to hear bad karaoke,
yes,
I feel like I can stumble down to Burbank, wander into Dimples, and see that any night. Or pick up a microphone and a mirror. That's all I need.
There right, let's rock out. Thanks, Eddie.
This is your
heaven.
Boss, Danny.
Yes.
Put me through hell.
Come on, Jack.
Chains of love.
Sell it.
Put a hold on me.
Everybody!
Everybody, all three
Everybody.
Of them.
Break free.
Oh,
all right. Now,
if
I want that, I'll go over to Dimples on a Wednesday night.
Can I tell you right now?
Yes.
They don't pay me enough money to be able to afford to go over to Dimples. Not alone to actually have my boss sing me.
Well, then Dimples will come to you in the form of Jack
Silver. And people like that do it as a joke, and it's funny, and it's a party. People on American Idol are full, brimming with hubris, and I like to see people
yes.
like that get crushed.
But they are people that believe in fairies and aliens who have a 87 IQ, who have horrible, low-paying jobs and miserable lives. You
we
understand?
We have the privilege of living in Los Angeles. We actually are surrounded by a lot of people with talent. In the rest of the country, I believe, most people are like this. They are confused and deluded. This I call it the Billy Moses syndrome.
Mm.
They are confused and deluded.
Our former webmaster.
Places.
Yes.
That felt that he was explosive.
Described himself as explosive and gave me buzz.
I'm explosive.
Gave me buzz on my cell phone a few weeks back.
Oh,
because,
no.
Really?
Former assistant Lindsay
what did he want?
Gave it to him.
Huh.
What didn't he want would be a more apt question. But here's the thing. I love it when some hot model who thinks his or her poop doesn't stink is making their way down the runway just filled with attitude and falls off the end of
right.
the runway.
Right.
I love that part of life. I love the part of life when the rich chick gets the DUI.
Yeah.
I love that part of life. I don't like the part of life when the guy's making $7 an hour and probably suffered a little blunt force head trauma at some point in their life, making them think they can sing, ends up crying and going back to their trailer or their mom's basement. That's just picking on stupid
yeah,
people.
Sing losers lose is not satisfying. And,
right.
and along those lines,
totally
they put
totally
together
true.
A montage last night on American Idol because they were in Minneapolis of some of the deluded singers singing Prince. So just to get a sense of what we're talking
Prince?
About. Yeah, because he's from Minneapolis. So not
only
has
a raspberry beret and has a pocket full of horses.
I have to apologize for what I'm about to do to you, because I know you hate Prince, and I know you hate bad singers, and I know you hate this part of American Idol where they're cruel to the bad singers. But here it is.
I'm gonna give you that handy. I promise.
You don't have to be rich to be my girl. You don't have to be cool to rule my world.
At no particular sign, I'm more compatible.
Well, we'll hear more from her in a second.
I just need some extra time and dough.
Okay, so you get the idea.
Yes.
I can't believe this guy is playing my Super Bowl. It's like Marilyn Manson playing at the Vatican. He has taken my shrine, my church. I'm an atheist, but my football field, that is my Mecca. That's sacred soil, and you're putting this purple homo on my center and on my 50-yard line?
I can do two things that will help you, I think. One, quote Boy George. Believe it or not, that's going to help you. A quote from Boy George. He said, they asked about Prince when Prince was coming, you know, where he was the biggest star in the world. He goes, I didn't know. He looks like a dwarf dipped in pubic hair.
Yes.
Not bad, not
and
bad.
And that's being called by Boy George.
Yeah, and that's
George.
By Boy George. And the other one is, on Sunday night, sometimes, for fun, just to see what I can make happen.
Right.
I work the door at a pretty interesting bar called Dragonfly on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the doorman the night we kicked Paris Hilton out and she went to jail.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you like the rich white chicks that go to jail,
good.
We're right there heaving her ass out.
Well, here was another moment that I thought was particularly sad from last night, because this guy is a vocal coach. And it turns out he's not.
Oh, I saw him.
Physician, heal thyself.
And just stay here in this moment for all the rest of time. I don't want to close my eyes. Don't want to fall asleep. Because I'd miss you, baby.
That guy's delusional, man. He thinks he can sing, but he sucks, man. Brian holding his side, rolling around his crappy apartment. Retarded guy, that chick with the thyroid condition, she thinks she has talent, but she's horrible, man.
That was just sad.
Oh, look at her. She's crying. Oh, this is great.
It is. I do feel for them when they're genuinely humble.
It reminds me, I have to masturbate. Someone's in pain.
Hold on. Just to make it all better, there was, talk about choosing your horse in the beginning. There was one girl.
Better at first.
Hey, me too.
I'll choose the whore right now.
What? Oh, did I say that?
Whore number two, please.
There was a little 16-year-old girl named Denise. Mm. And, you know, they intersperse a few decent singers just so, you know, to cleanse the palate of your ear, mm-hmm. if that's possible. And this girl described herself as having been born a crack baby. And you're just praying for her to be a good singer. You're just, please, little Denise, please don't suck. Mm-hmm. And then she sings this.
I'm living without you. I'm not living without you. I don't wanna be free. And I'm staying. And you, you're gonna love me.
She's going to Hollywood. And then another, I thought, kind of inspiring moment was...
Well, here's crack baby. How big of a baby is that?
Well, she was born addicted to crack.
Yeah, and she was singing last night addicted to crack.
Yeah. Danny waited till his third birthday to get addicted to crack. Cry me a river. Here's the thing.
That pipe gets hot.
Here's how you know, and when you're praying that somebody does a good job singing, here's how you know, because you're praying they're going to do it. When they do that thing where it's like, her father was a soldier in Iraq, and he stepped on a landmine, and he was killed. And then during the funeral, the mother was hit by lightning, and she fell into the same grave, and they buried both parents that day. And she's dyslexic, and they told her she couldn't sing because she had a horrible throat infection. She is going to belt out the song because
they wouldn't
edit
set you up
it that way, and they wouldn't set it up that way.
Also, you knew the...
That's right.
You knew the Air Force guy who won the Reagan Idol aboard the USS Reagan. You knew he was going to be good because that would just be unpatriotic.
Right. That reminds me of my man crush on West Point yesterday.
Yes, you mean Kelly from Apprentice. Well, here was that military guy, Jared Fowler, singing on American Idol. You knew he was going to be good because they had set it up, but here he is.
There were like northern stars pointing me on my way into your loving arms. This much I know is true.
Yes.
That God bless the broken road that led me straight to you.
Thanks, Jared.
He's going to have a lot of fans, and you can watch Idol again tonight as they visit Seattle.
I just pray that Randy Jackson does not bring back his dog pound.
Oh, he will.
Which I feel like the producers probably had several conversations with him about that being Arsenio's dog pound circa 1988. What's next? Who stole the beef? Where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
Is that going to be another one now? Who let the dogs out?
Well, Randy does not have that many moves to the basket.
No, I don't feel like he has a whole lot of cards in his deck. So he plays.
Do you see that a lot of times when you're working with certain people, you just go, wow, this is it for you. When this ride ends, it's over.
I feel like if Randy Jackson, if I had to inhabit his body for a season of American Idol, meaning when I opened my mouth, there were my words, but it sounded like him,
right,
and the body looked the same. If I could crawl up him, I could pull it off quite easily.
How?
Well, first off, don't be too clever. Don't be too interesting, and try not to inform people too much.
That'll be impossible for you.
I don't want to do what they call a tell in the business. I would say, hey, dog, I wasn't feeling it. For the first singer.
Okay.
And then the second singer, I would say, it was a little pitchy. You got to watch your pitch. And then the third guy came up, I would ask the dog pound what they thought. And then the fourth one, I wouldn't say almost anything. I'd just go, it's all right. It's all right.
It's just all right. I
wasn't feeling it. That would be it. And I feel like I could do an entire season of American Idol, and I'm convinced if I inhabited Paula Abdul's body, I could do an entire season without opening my mouth.
You're the only person that has not inhabited Paula Abdul's body.
Oh, really?
Really? She's slutty?
Yeah.
More when we come back.
We'll take a quick break.
That's what she said.
Donald Lowe, somebody who's, he's giving a thumbs up through the window. Evidently, he's been to Paula Abdul. Evidently.
Yes.
That's what that thumbs up
is. I came out of my house one night, swear on my life, strike me dead. I come out of my house, she's laying down on one of my pieces of furniture in my backyard.
Paula Abdul.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll hear that story.
And Donald Lowe.
Knights of Prosperity, and also
Dow of Steve,
Homo,
my favorite.
Flaming Chopper Guy movie coming
Ghost
out.
Riders.
Ghost Rider. We'll, Nick Cage is getting older, but his hair keeps getting younger.
Yeah.
I feel like eventually he's going to be in his 70s and his hair will be in his teens. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Donald Logue after this.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. At 6:30 on Oxygen, don't watch Raising Helen. A self-absorbed Manhattan fashionista's life is turned upside down when she gets custody of her niece and nephew. At 7 p.m. on Food Network, be sure to miss Good Eats, a look at how vinegar is made. And at 8 p.m. on CMT, definitely don't watch The Dukes of Hazzard. Cooter takes the rap for a friend who's been framed for hijacking auto parts. That's what not to watch. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on The Adam Carolla Show.
Family Ties is a show that had Boner as a neighbor.
I believe so.
Yes, and I have a friend that dated him.
I'd like to get Boner and Cooter together, have them spin off.
Sure.
Spin off with their own. Get Cooter from the Dukes of Hazzard, and Boner from, wait a minute.
Is that how babies are made?
Growing Pains.
He's got a Growing Pains boner. You came in to tell us that.
We get Boner from Growing Pains and Cooter from the Dukes of Hazzard, and it's Boner and Cooter.
Boner and Cooter, and nobody gets the chick in the Daisy Maze or whatever
that was. Will Donald Logue star in that? Would you mind playing Cooter?
I'll give you Boner, and I'll play Cooter.
I'd rather play Boner for sure.
I'll let you touch my Cooter.
You want to go? All right, I'll go Cooter, because I got range.
Yeah, you can do Cooter or Boner.
That's right. Donald Logue is here from Knights of Prosperity. Tonight, by the way, 9 o'clock,
yes,
ABC.
Going against American Idol.
Yeah.
You know what, though? It's going against a show that people watch by the truckload but all know is crap.
I actually think that, I mean, that we were talking about this Nielsen stuff. Even the president of ABC was like, if you can find someone who watches NCIS, I'll give you $100. But for some reason, it's got nine, there's like 200 Nielsen families. They're all 90 and above.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, although, you know, people watch Idol, that's cool. Although I think that, I think when Family Guy was on Fox, for instance, and had really low numbers, and they're like, well, we got to get rid of this show, and then 100 million DVDs sold or something,
right.
And they realized it
one,
was like when
guy,
Billboard.
One guy bought all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My 12-year-old has the whole collection.
I don't understand. And the other thing I don't understand is, like, when I used to be on MTV doing Loveline, we would get the same numbers that every other crappy cable show got on TV, yet I would be recognized everywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how that works. Either there's a...
It's supposed to represent
how many eyeballs are on your show,
yeah.
Right?
Well, that's interesting, because when I did the MTV Cab Driver back in the 90s...
Right.
And,
give us a taste.
The older,
give us a taste, Donald.
You know, I can't.
Come on.
Come on. Put the Coke bottle glasses
it
on.
Makes pee, you know
Reach
what? Can you say the P word?
Penis?
Penis? Makes pee pee squirt out of my penis and my legs go queasy. He's talking
yes.
about
nice.
Something. He was from Boston. But, you know, it was the same kind of thing because I remember people were like, well, what is that? Now, the older generation has no clue, and yet anyone who's younger is watching something that somehow doesn't show up on a chart or a rating or a...
Yeah, I feel the same way with all the CSI shows and all those shows. How can they be the most watched and the most popular? And I don't know anyone who ever watches them. Of course, it doesn't mean they don't. It just means we don't hang out with those people,
yes,
I think
exactly.
is what
well,
it is.
I've watched The Knights of Prosperity, and it's a very funny, very good show about a bunch of people who want to rob Mick Jagger.
That's right.
It's a brilliant idea, by the way.
Now,
I've got the Google up on it right now. I've got all the information on it right here. And it is full of some really good actors. You got
yeah,
some really good
yeah,
people
on the
show.
Yeah, we had some good people on the show. And, you know, Rob Burnett and John Beckerman, who created it, ran The Late Show for a long time. And then I did a show called Ed. I met them because... We were doing the Cab Driver movie over at Worldwide Pants after MTV 10 or 12 years ago or whatever it was. And
you were?
Yeah, we were going to. And then I ended up doing comedy bits on The Late Show. And then we always talked about trying to do a TV series together. And we finally came up with one that was kind of a vehicle for a Jimmy McBride Cab Driver-like character,
mm-hmm.
which is this guy who wants to rob
and
Mick Jagger.
We're doing the Tower of Steve.
Yeah.
It is on your okay.
This is, so Letterman's company produces
right.
this show. Have you met Letterman? Obviously, you've met him, but is he hands-on? Does he show up on the set?
Not at all.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. He's not making bagels, you know, he's not doing craft service.
You know what's
but.
Weird? I've done shows with him where he was in the charge and never showed up. His friend Jimmy Kimmel shows up everywhere. That's the most hands-on guy I've ever met.
Yeah, I feel like there is a huge chasm between the way those two guys work.
Can I ask a
personal
question?
Well, Letterman's, that's a weird world of, you know, just being those, well, Jimmy's younger and Conan's younger and stuff like, but like Jay mm-hmm. and it, whatever, they've run these weird kingdoms for 30 years.
Yes.
And that's their world.
Yeah, and
almost to the point where I don't know if they are allowed anymore to just go to a restaurant across the street, or you know what I mean. It's like
that.
Yeah, so
New
it's
yard.
Yeah. Although you know that my only experience with going to a restaurant, and I went out to eat with Howard Stern, and we just walked down the street and went to a restaurant
yeah.
and ate, and yeah, few people turned their heads, but because he's 9 feet tall. But you can do it.
Were you in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I took
right
my kid
city.
To Hot Topic at Hollywood and Highland the other day. Undoable. It depends. I think it's
you
where
were
you
with
are.
Stern?
No, I was with me. That's how
what?
Sad they are.
Oh.
Donald,
they've all got cameras, which they don't know how to use, by the way.
Right.
Well, it is true that the idea of putting a camera in every single phone and then go, hey, that's the wacky cab driver, or it's the guy from the Knights of Prosperity, or the guy
or
from the
Or Michael Richards on stage doing comedy.
Yeah.
Or, hey, there's Saddam getting hanged.
That's awesome.
Even worse. Yeah.
So I want to ask you about Grounded for Life, and the reason
right.
I went to.
Because your daughter was on the show.
And I, to be honest with you, I don't know who she played. Was she your wife as a
she
kid?
She played my daughter as a younger
in a flashback.
Version of herself as a in a flashback.
One of the proudest days of my life.
I remember hanging out on the set. Yeah, she
out.
Was fantastic.
I was doing That 70s Show on the next set, and she was doing your show on the next set, and our dressing rooms were right next
That's
to each
crazy.
Other. It said Isabella Bonducci on one and Danny Bonducci on the other, and I was just like so proud.
It was
a good
fun.
Job.
That
was
good.
Been,
yeah. Surreal, a guy who was in That 70s Show, the original, the
yeah.
Partridge
right, that's
Family, like
that's
that.
Right.
That
yeah,
that's right. That 70s Show from the 70s, and then being on
they had
That
my
70s
posters
Show
on their wall when I did the show. They had pictures
Partridge
of me.
Family.
Yeah.
So Donald, let's talk a little Knights of Prosperity. Did you meet Mick?
Name.
Did you hang out with Mick?
I didn't meet Mick. What happened was he they tailor-made a pilot script for him, mm-hmm. just kind of, you know, a shot in the dark if he would do it, and he really liked it. The problem was they were on tour in Asia. It was kind of around the time that Keith fell out of the tree in Fiji.
Right on.
So they had to go down. What they did was they went down to New Zealand and shot all of Mick's stuff.
Ah.
So you've never even met him, probably.
No. If he comes back, it'll be back in the future on the next batch of shooting. So in this first go-round, we didn't work together. But it wasn't... It was more like we were voyeurs or kind of stalking him. It wasn't... Mm-hmm. It would have been a weird world had we had to stand together and do so. Like, I don't think our characters are ready to hang out with Mick Jagger in any way.
It just freaked me out. It's so weird anyway.
That would be surreal.
Yeah.
What is your part in Ghost Rider, by the way, which is coming out February 16th? I've been seeing commercials.
The best friend mechanic guy, but it was funny how you described it because it's kind of like
doing a fire chopper.
Right, yeah, because it's kind of like doing a war movie where the guys show up and you kind of don't know these guys, or you do Gettysburg, or I did The Patriot, and you're mm-hmm. all dressed in whatever period gear, and it goes to this homoerotic place immediately. And the same with Ghost Rider, because you're all wearing weird leathers.
Yeah, you know? Look,
and so you start, like, just acting weird and talking strange, and
there is, I mean, that sort of, it's a fine line between super butch and macho and homoerotic. You know, bikers wear leather chaps and leather vests and have big arms and boots, you know, and hogs.
Let's
and
it's
really
right.
an outline of homoerotic. Is it Interview with a Vampire homoerotic, where they're just about making out? Or is it more like that thing with Russell Crowe on that boat with the doctor who played the cello, and it looked like they might have a little something lonely on the ship?
Oh,
is I like that. Mine, I just meant inappropriate joking that could be taken as...
I thought you were boning.
To me, the butch version, which is almost gay porn or movies like Con Air, speaking of Nick Cage.
Yeah.
A lot of guys,
I love that.
I love that movie, too, but anytime there's a shot of guys with their shirts off walking in slow motion, and you see the heat coming off the tarmac, that borders on homoerotic. Like, I always think, if I was gay, I could peel one off right now. No problemo.
But couldn't it be for the chicks?
What chicks? It was 30 dudes on an airplane.
My friends in that movie, you know Danny Trejo, Adam. So Danny's a friend, and he does all the tough guy. The funny thing about tough guy movies is it engenders this tough guy attitude left, right, and center on the set, which is just like... Dude's getting over fist fights at the espresso machine. It's like, dude, it's a movie, man.
I stood in, and I'll let you finish in one second. I worked as a stand-in for one movie. My friend was the AP or the whatever on it, and he got me on to Judgment Night with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Emilio Estevez, and there were the good guys, and there were the bad guys. The bad guys... thought they were the bad guys. They were trashing their trailers. They were out of control. They didn't like the good guys. And the stand-ins? The bad stand-ins didn't like the good stand-ins.
That's funny.
I wanted to kick the ass of the guy that was standing in for Emilio Estevez because I was standing in for one of the bad guys. Everyone's making $80 a day and just eating granola bars, but yet we had to take sides. In a fake movie, obviously. So, yes, if you wear the leather and you say, I don't got time to bleed enough times, well, eventually you'll just become that guy. I think that's what happened. I think that's what happened to the commish. Whenever they interview, what's his name, the guy?
Bald dude?
Yeah, the bald guy plays the commish. Go ahead, Brian. Chiklis. When they do Chiklis, it's always like, hey, the commish is here. Don't hurt us, commish. Come on. Now, remember, meanwhile, Chiklis is fat and 5 foot tall. But yet,
kind of goes to me, and I get that.
He's a scary badass, because on TV, he plays a scary badass.
In The Shield, maybe more than the commish.
I meant the shield.
I remember doing a commish episode 15 years ago, which was pretty hysterical.
Timely reference.
I
meant The Shield.
I'm just going to say it. I'm trying to pretend I'm making this into a question, but I'm just curious. Your father was a priest, a Catholic priest?
Well, my dad, because he always gets really angry at this. My dad was in the seminary in Ireland, took his simple vows, went to Africa, and was teaching at a mission. He met my mom, and they got married in Africa. But the weird thing was, you know, I have all these old pictures of him, and they're totally in clerical garb and stuff. And so at some point I was like, yeah, my dad was a, I mean, if he wasn't a priest, which he wasn't, he was 88% there.
Yeah.
I'm like, Dad, I don't wear things with collars and weird stuff, right?
Right.
So he gets so mad, and it's like, and my parents were up yesterday because my sister had an operation, and we were having this conversation in the hospital. Oh, it's cool. It worked out well. And I was like, look, I hate organized religion. I just can't stand it. I can't. And they're okay with it. And the thing I'm okay with is if he hadn't, none of us would have been born.
Right, absolutely.
You know, but he was from an Irish family where you take the one kid who's got some promise academically. He goes to these schools that are all hardcore Catholic, and then they're railroading him to be a priest.
Right,
and if he leaves, they give him so much guilt and hassle, which I'm sure he had to walk through.
That is what the Italians
said. Hold on, is this Ghost Rider? Are you talking about Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
This is the plot line.
Then his head exploded on fire.
The priest catch on fire?
Then they wear leather garb.
All right, we're running late. We need to take a break. But Donald Logue, Ghost Rider. I feel like I want to see this on the other hand.
I do too.
You do?
Yeah, we had a great time.
You think it'll be good? I don't care if you had a fun time. I want to know if it's good.
I think it will be good.
All right. I'm going to watch. Now, am I right about Cage getting older while his hair's getting younger?
You know, Nick Cage, actually, just the real quick one, surprised me, in all honesty, every time you work with those super famous people and you're like, you have a prejudgment going on.
Kind of
and I'm like, is he going to be really effective? He was totally funny and cool and just disarming a way I didn't expect.
Regular guy.
Yeah. And then it was the first time I've ever read, because we were in Australia doing it. We all hung out one Sunday and went to an F Formula One race and did all this kind of stuff. And in the paper the next day, I read some really bad, atrocious thing about how he took his pregnant wife and walked into traffic in this other part of town, and they were shopping, and people had to hit the brakes, and they're like, what's going on? He's like, don't you know who the F I am? And, you know, and I was like, I'm like, wow, really famous people really do get boned by stories that are completely, utterly false.
Here's a trick. If it says, don't you know who I am, it's fake.
Yeah.
No one says it.
Unless
no
Natasha
says
Lyonne
it.
Says it in jest.
Yeah.
Really drunk, coming out of a car.
Don't you know who I am? Yeah. Nobody says it.
Donald Logue, Knights of Prosperity, tonight, 9 p.m., ABC. Third episode. And, now I'm going to go see Ghost Rider coming
Me
out
too.
On February 16th.
See Zodiac as well.
Oh, well, I'm going to go see Zodiac as well.
Fast Track.
Because you know what my wife and I do? We pick careers. We go, that's a great career. That's a great career. Somebody just constantly keeps working and just great. We pick you.
Oh, thanks, man.
We see, there's a great career.
We got to talk off the air because me and my wife picked Donald Logue, too, and I feel like there's not enough room. No, there is not. Okay, let's take a break. You can win some Playboy Mansion tickets. We're going tomorrow night, 866-901-AM. Just give a call. I'll explain later.
Tomorrow night, the Adam Carolla Show is live at the Playboy Mansion. Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser sit down with Donald Trump.
I'm looking for someone who's a problem solver.
Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump Jr., Hugh Hefner and his girlfriends, the girls next door, Jimmy Kimmel.
Most of the kids I know that go are because they're bad.
Well, that's why I went.
David Alan Greer and more. Win tickets this morning on the Adam Carolla Show. And don't miss the rebroadcast Friday morning. Special thanks to NBC's The Apprentice Los Angeles, Sunday nights at 9 on NBC, Miller Lite, and Maker's Mark. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I did some fantastic radio about 5 minutes ago. I told everyone just to call up. They want to win these Playboy tickets for tomorrow night, but I didn't tell them why.
Adam's on the phone.
And then I realized when I looked up at a full bank of calls, I still don't know why.
Wow,
so
if you look at line 8, I think we have an Amish guy. That's kind of cool.
So here's what we're going to do. You're going to tell us a story. You're going to do something. I don't know. Maybe you do an impression of me. Maybe you do one of Humphrey Bogart. Maybe you have a great story. Whatever it is, you're going to have a few seconds to do it, and in 5 minutes, we'll know who's going to
and
that Playboy Mansion.
Can I throw in my idea? And if you don't like it, that's why they call it the Adam Carolla Show. So if you don't like it, just say goodbye to it. I say what we do is we let them tell their story, and within a second of them being done, all three of us yell out a score between 1 and 10. I'll add them up, and the highest winner at the end of this bit wins.
Fine. But if you don't have a story, do something to blow us away.
Fine.
Right.
Before we go any further, I've got to apologize to everybody.
I disagree. This is going to be fun.
Even
you're going to be ashamed
knows
of yourself.
This is a bad idea.
You're going to be ashamed.
Sean?
Yeah, what's up?
Tell us a story. Do an impression. Do something.
My name is Adam Crow, and you know, let me tell you how it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
It's like this, you know, all these effing a-holes that want to complain about everything. You know, I don't know what to tell you. You know, just.
I'll give him a 4 because I'm in a good mood. Here's $10. Never call the show again.
Okay, I got a score. But I got a score.
Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
Tell us a story. Impress us in some
way. Shave your head, scratch your... whatever.
Well, let's see. This one time I got so wasted in TJ, me and my cousin, and we ended up getting kicked out of a strip club for smoking weed with a stripper.
Unless you weren't a liar.
Is this an Adam impression?
What was the name of the strip club? If it was a unicorn, it is an Adam impression.
It's the Hong Kong.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, look. He's telling the truth. Yeah. So says Kim Chi. I didn't get thrown out of it. Well, I did. I got chased out of a Tijuana strip club because what we would do is we'd bring our own booze because we'd order Cokes and then we'd freshen them up with our own booze because at the strip club, a highball was $4 and a Coke was $1 and they found our booze. But our friend was upstairs with one of the prostitutes when we were kicked out. So we lost track of it.
Now, who else has got some story?
Anthony, five.
Anthony kicked out for smoking weed.
Yep.
What was the hooker's name?
Well, I don't know.
Good. I'd have deducted 4 points for knowing your hooker.
Down to 4.
Let's talk to you.
I'm going to give him a 4, too.
Okay, that's fine.
4 is all the way around.
All right, let's talk to BJ. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and spot BJ 1 just for being here. BJ.
Sure. Same.
BJ?
Yeah.
You got a 1 from everyone right off the beginning.
I take everything literally. So we just all gave this guy 1 already.
We all anteed a 1 just to start the pot off with. Now, BJ? Okay.
3 is a good number to start with.
Tell us a story.
I'm going to tell you the story that I was going to tell you last week for the drunk stories. Me and my buddies are out at a bar, probably 8 of us. We find a girl comes over, starts talking to us by herself. After a while, we invite her to come back to my buddy's house. We're all chilling. She actually picks up a bottle of wine for herself on the way back. Mind you, she's by herself. There's 8 guys there. Mm-hmm. Everybody kind of feeds out. I end up spending the night at my buddy's house. She's into my buddy. They're in bed,
vice versa,
doing whatever, and I'm on the couch next to them. She goes into the bathroom to do whatever. My buddy turns to me. He goes, "Hey, do you want to get laid tonight? I'm not too into this girl." So I said, "Okay." So while she's in the bathroom, I jump in the bed. He jumps back on the couch. I pull the covers up over my head. He's got these blacked out blinds where you can't even see anything in his room.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes out of the bathroom, jumps in bed with me. I pull the covers over us. And she leaves the light on in the bathroom. So my
BJ's buddy killing me, Adam.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Having a ball out here.
No, you're stuck on the line. Just give him a lower vote.
I'm taking the 1 off the table, and I'm going to deduct 1 for being long-winded.
I'm going to deduct.
So now he's 0?
He's minus 1.
I'm deducting 3 for the date rape light.
Oh, my God.
This is right.
All right, I'll give him a 1. That means he's a minus 3.
Now, I'm
3.
Guessing he was going to go on to say that he had sex with this woman, and she didn't know it.
Right.
I've heard that story 1,000 times. I never buy it.
Apocryphal every time.
I don't feel like I could ever be so drunk that I wouldn't know who I was having sex with
if they swapped.
Yeah, that's
true.
Can I
say something? During the days of Quaaludes, please don't fire me, Jack. You'd be making love to a woman you met at a bar, and then she took 3 or 4 Quaaludes, and you'd be doing it, and all of a sudden you're, oh man, I should probably check this chick's pulse.
Really?
Oh, cool. She's still alive. Never mind.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, those tricks can be played successfully.
You know what, Danny? I give that an 8.
I give it an 8, too.
Yeah, right here, just go, oh no, she's still thumping. Let's go.
Mom, you still alive? Joey?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Hey, man. Last week, I almost won that storytelling about you almost got caught at work.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys almost got to me, but Teresa was talking so much that you guys ended the storytelling.
Minus
and,
2.
And the guy was
what
like...
What is the Jew?
Joey, I don't care for the cut of your jib.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was like, oh, dude, you're going to so win. He goes, hold on, I'll put you in. And then you guys
when does the story start?
Joey, you got fired for calling this show?
Joey, what was your story about?
Dude, okay, I was a military guy in Iraq, and I was in a special forces unit, so I was always had to go sent over to the medical units to go and try to haggle with them and get stuff that we didn't have.
Jew them.
Well, I always met all kinds of hot nurses there.
Uh-huh.
So I met the commanders and the chaplain. The chaplain's like a military priest. And I met everybody over there.
Well, I did it good with this nurse.
Oh, boy.
And,
what time did you watch?
Yeah, go ahead and deduct 2 points for being condescending.
Okay,
I know what a chaplain is. I've seen MASH.
Adam, can you verbally eviscerate him for being mean to me, please?
Nice to talk to you.
Have I ever asked you for anything?
All right.
Thanks.
Joey?
Yeah.
Joey, not only are you not going to the Playboy Mansion, you'll never do anything that involves play or boy or go to any place with a mansion. I won't even let you into the Winchester house.
I got one more thing.
Worse. A little worse.
My brother-in-law just turned 21, and I didn't get him a present. So bringing him to the Playboy Mansion would be the best idea.
Might I suggest a gift certificate at Best Buy?
Dickweed. Mel Gibson just called and said, lighten up a little bit on the anti-Semite, okay?
That's right. You thought we'd cross the line. Rob?
Thank you.
Adam.
I love you.
Oh, Carolla. I'm trying to replace Marco Polo with Adam Carolla.
I like him.
Let's give him 2 points right off the top. Go ahead, Rob.
My story actually relates to that. I was at Disneyland over, actually Disney World in Florida over Thanksgiving, and I had decided to introduce my little cousins, they're like 11 and 13, to Adam Carolla in the pool, right? So we're playing Adam Carolla in the pool, and this smoking hot, lifeguard comes over and asks me, what's Adam Carolla? And I explain, you know, the whole love line thing, how you decided you wanted to replace Marco Polo with Adam Carolla to sort of leave your mark on the world.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she tells me what time she gets off. We end up going to meeting up.
All right, that's good. You're in?
So that was that.
It was a feel-good story. It moved me. Transported me. I had an arc.
Got laid by knowing your name.
Had a cameo by Adam Carolla. Good enough. You're lucky we're out of time and you kiss my ass, Rob.
Wow.
So
you're going to the Playboy Mansion.
Not even
going to
give him any scores.
I give him a 10.
What do you give him?
10.
I give him a 10. Now,
30. There you go, Rob.
12 would be the second highest score. You got a 30.
Wait, Rob just said something nice to me and now I have low self-esteem from Joey.
Go ahead.
Please repeat it.
I love you lately, Teresa. You've been really mixing with the show very well.
Thank you. Here you go, fatty. Why don't you do a couple sit-ups?
See, didn't I send you an email? Told you.
You, Teresa's single, so you bring a sixer and a condom, and you may just get lucky on Thursday night. All right, buddy?
All right.
I know this is not wise in these days, you know, where you should definitely wear a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
But if you knew you were good and healthy and just came from the doctor, I'd so do it, Teresa, without a condom.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
Let's just look disease-free.
Thank
you. I feel a condom would be a barrier from something positive. You might gain a few IQ points. Or maybe you just get some enzyme that could ward off disease. I feel like you could pick up some good things from tea.
Right. Now, see, what I like about them, what I really like about them, because with a new girl, this takes all of 30 seconds. We put a condom on, that slows stuff down because it slows down a little sensation.
Mm-hmm. This is the nicest thing that anyone's ever said to me. What's it going to take to get you into my pants?
By the way, throw a little lidocaine in the end of the condom, you're good all night.
We were talking about oral, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We'll take a quick break. Christopher Knight.
We
got a Brady and a Partridge in the same house. We'll talk to him on the Adam Carolla Show next.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, everybody, come over here and watch this. Okay, here she goes. It works! Now watch the lava ooze out.
You may know him best as Peter Brady from the Brady Bunch. It's Christopher Knight with Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, what about Surreal Life or My Fair Brady? Good to see you, Christopher Knight.
You too, Adam. Danny, congratulations on this marriage.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's only been 17 years.
He's talking about us who are still enjoying our honeymoon.
That's because I was saying very nice things about you.
He's cheating on you already.
Yeah, the problem is we're both bottoms, so we both just sort of lie there in bed yelling,
together.
I'm ready!
And I'm sure you can find some top guests.
We fall asleep. You are on the advisory board of and the spokesperson for something called AutoNet Mobile. This is the internet for your car, essentially.
It is. It's
right?
It's the first ISP for a car.
It is,
right?
A bunch of stuff.
Now, I'm on the advisory board of a number of companies. I actually am a principal of Dr. Tadoff. We're going
to
talk about that. Okay.
But the internet in your vehicle. Now, I know Ford sort of unveiled something in the Detroit Auto Show or the LA Auto Show. This is just beginning, this part where you have the internet inside your automobile, and people are worried. are people going to be checking their email while they're driving and that kind of stuff.
And downloading porn.
But yeah, how's it going to work?
It's proposed as a backseat solution at this point. I mean, eventually there might be some
voice control.
Unique solutions for the front seat, meaning navigation, traffic flow, even digital radio, because it is the net.
Mm-hmm.
If you have too much video in the front seat, though, I think it's a bad thing. And so there's going to be some repercussion if there is video pipe to the front.
You're this smart and you wore that coat.
But
this is weird.
It's my flannel, man. I'm not here.
What's covering the sofa?
I'm not really here to impress you, Danny.
It looks like the Marlboro nerd.
Can we talk about Christopher Knight's wife's new boobs?
Can we talk about just what the most fun woman in the world is?
Isn't she? She's like a female Danny.
Unbelievably, just hysterically fun.
I don't know if that'd be a good selling point if it was a blind date.
Bonaducci,
she's like the female Danny.
No, because you think scratchy voice crackhead might punch you in the face.
She is such a fan of Danny's. Matter of fact, Danny, thank you very much. You saved her ass.
I was happy to do it.
When we did Celebrity Paranormal Project, Danny and Adrian had an adventure. And
she had a nervous breakdown.
The paranormal stuff was going off with those two.
What happened?
And Danny had to like really support her out there.
The equipment that I was wearing was 40 or some odd pounds, and the equipment that she was wearing was 40 and some odd pounds. And she's like 10 feet tall, and I had to grab her and carry her out of this place because she was having a nervous breakdown. Aww.
There were some noises, some voices.
There was all sorts of.
She was looking at your face apparently, and when she saw you go like white, she lost it.
She's scared.
The mocha color he normally is. You don't go much whiter than Danny.
Yeah.
But ghost white.
So what? Does she believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
The paranormal and
she
all
does.
That stuff?
Yeah, she's pretty tuned into other wavelengths.
Why
and
do
so
all
she's,
hot chicks believe in goofy crap?
You know, some stuff was going off there. I have to admit that there wasn't
any stuff happening.
Huge,
did they
big
say?
Thing.
Yeah.
But there was some funky, creepy.
Do you think they set that stuff up?
No, I don't think they could.
We know they didn't. But there's like, my wife, who actually came off better than I thought because of her Christian beliefs, wasn't going to play along no matter what. I can't be afraid of ghosts because that's not part of my beliefs. Where I thought, but play along little. So I was going to play along little, and then they knocked me in the hot box, and I just wigged out.
Well, you were in there for like 15 minutes.
It was like, let me out of the hot box.
It was like a hot box. By the way, good name for Teresa's V, by the way. But
wasn't it in Cool Hand Luke, the hot box?
Yeah, exactly. We call it the hole, exactly, I think.
The
but
hole.
What is the hot box?
It's a tin or metal, not even cage, because it's all sealed. And they
it's like solitary confinement.
Bank.
Yeah.
And they left me in there.
Well, I thought it was a paranormal thing.
This was a haunted prison
you
were at. A defunct prison. This was the.
People baked to death in that box.
The state penitentiary of Tennessee that was. It was sued out of existence in the late 80s or 90s.
They say there's over 1,000 people buried on the property.
There is one prisoner there who killed 7 people in prison.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, some Nazi.
And
white supremacist.
They made us like
reenact his
weird,
death.
Horrible. Yeah, we had to reenact his death. We put Chris in the electric chair, man. A real one.
Yeah. So luckily the power was out.
So Adrian freaked out.
Freaked out.
Yeah, she did.
And Danny came to the rescue.
Well, Danny freaked out too.
Yeah.
They were both, you know. The fact
Everybody
is what's
out.
Weird is the ghosts or the spirit, the paranormal activity was off the chart when you two were together. When Gretchen was around, none.
Nothing.
When I was there, just a limited amount. I got to think it's got something to do with your ability to tap into it or be wanting to tap into it.
I want to tap into your wife, and whatever she was feeling was good enough for me.
Well, she's on the phone.
Oh.
Adrian?
Oh, damn. Oh, my God.
Adrian Curry?
Adrian.
Hello.
Can I ask Adrian a quick question? You're so gorgeous and have one of the most gorgeous bodies I've ever seen. Why the boob job last month?
Because one of my boobs grew to be like a C cup, and the other one was just barely out of an A, and that really sucks when you're a model. Try to get work with that one.
Tell me about it, Adrian.
She kept turning right.
My catalog work is just a
dribble. She had some asymmetry of the breast.
I really did.
That's
a like I told Chris,
reason.
If one of your balls was hanging down near your knees while the other one was pleasantly tucked between your legs, wouldn't you fix it?
No, I'd do gaucho tricks with it for sure.
No, honey, you told me that you were imbalanced and this would take care of it.
And it did. I love my boobs.
So you went up with the A to meet the C.
And the only reason I got an implant in the already large breast was just so that it wouldn't start sagging
right.
in a few
Absolutely.
Years.
You can't
one.
Get one implant. I mean,
no.
there's just,
you
know.
Can't. I've got one on my back just for slow dancing.
You have a third nipple?
I feel All right, so you got to get two implants. And did you stay to C or did you go up to D?
I stayed C, no
Smart
D.
Smart move. That's what Gretchen has. How'd you do it? Did you go up through the belly button or under the armpits?
Through the nipple.
You went through the nipple.
Yeah.
It's not a bad way, but under the...
That's the way Grandma used to do
through
it.
Through the navel now is one of the more preferred ways. That's how Gretchen did hers.
I know. How do they do that?
A bit more difficult recovery, actually.
Well, the navel, they're not even.
It's a horrible recovery because they have to open up a tube through, you know, your belly button all the way up into the breast. I just didn't have time for that kind of recovery.
Separate the skin from the muscle.
Well, how does the belly button one work? They put the tube and then they fill it when it's...
You just have low breasts.
Yeah, and you need a really, really good doctor to make sure that they get that under the pectoral muscle when they do that.
We had ours done in Tijuana. So.
Adrian, you have a lot of chemistry with Danny Bonaducci, yes?
What?
A lot of chemistry?
Be careful, Adrian.
What kind of chemistry? Like chemistry sets and baking up stuff? Or? I'm sorry.
You were close when you were shooting the paranormal show, yeah?
Well, you know what? I really thought, you know, it was my joke that I was going to be running from Danny into the arms of a ghost. But when faced with ghosts, I prefer Danny over a spirit. And Danny's a great guy, and he really made me comfortable. And I'm very grateful to him because if he was not there, I probably would have melted down. If that was Gretchen, she would have just been making fun of everything. I would have crapped myself.
I feel like, I know you guys probably aren't swingers, but you could do a little worse than the Brady Bunch and the Partridge Family and their chosen wives.
Hey, Gretchen and I got husbands. That's just how it is.
And by the way, Gretchen gets a better choice than Adrian does. That's a fairly handsome guy.
I feel like Adrian and Gretchen maybe might.
Yeah, they're going out to lunch, and I think we both need to follow them.
$1 million.
You would.
Oh, you would.
Out of my real money that I really own in the world, I'd pay $10,000.
I feel like Adrian would experiment, yes, or has.
I have.
And Danny, what about Gretchen?
Oh, hold on a second.
5 years of her life thinking, do I have to have sex with
this
guy again?
Hold on, we just got bleeped out.
We got bleeped out. I think we're allowed to say Dykes.
Are
I think we are. Yes.
Yes. Adrian was just telling us she spent 5 years or so as a lesbian.
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
And where was I and where was the video camera? That's my main question.
Well, some of those years I was underage and I didn't want you to go to jail.
She did it for you, Corolla.
And with other models in the model house.
Actually, yes.
I got to tell you, every time I hear about these model houses, my mind reels because it's like, well, what is a model house? Well, it's a place in Europe where we take all the 15, 16, 17-year-old hotties from Kentucky and all parts of the United States, and we just put them under one roof, and they can discover their sexuality and drugs.
Because of our differences in standards, I think of woman's penitentiary. You think model house?
Model house.
I think woman's penitentiary, you're going to get it all day long.
I used to think woman's penitentiary when I was watching 80s movies like Chain Heat.
With Linda Blair in the
room. But ever since A&E started to give us a peek behind the curtain of the actual 300-pounder who looks more like a guy than a girl, that it ruined it for me.
Now, Adrian, back me up on this, though. The modeling agencies are sort of like in this seat of power, so they can actually make money off the people that get access to that house. Right, Adrian?
Yeah, influencers. Definitely. Like when I was in Italy, our whole modeling house was shipped off to Lake Como to a rich count's estate.
Named George Clooney?
No. George Clooney, I wouldn't have left, honey. But it wasn't. So I was out of there. But, I mean, yeah, there's definitely some pimping out of the models.
There's some selling of favors going on.
And the hot, steamy lesbian action took place with other models. That's an important thing.
Right.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, you're sitting in an apartment in Milan. It's about 400 degrees outside. Everyone's
What are you wearing?
Nothing. We had no air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, would sit there, and then we'd get bored, and nobody wants to get diseases from some foreign guy, and, you know.
They have bad teeth.
It'd be great. You know what I love? I would love to be that pliable sexually. You know, women, they're like a Jeep. They can run off anything. You know what I mean? Sexually. It's like, There's no dude alive who's straight. It's not like me, Danny, and Chris were sitting in some apartment in Milan. It's like, look, there's no doubt we'd rather all have a woman right now.
But without that,
yeah, let's just start a chain.
But you know what's weird?
There's no similarity.
But I wish I had the ability to run off of any fuel, you know?
You've been brave enough to say that, then I'm going to tell you. I think this is totally true. But you have to know that I mean you have the same exact sexual drive that I have, which is like a big problem with me at home and in life in general. It's
right.
Like, I don't do it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine being rocked.
I'm sorry, but everybody should at least have sex 6 times a week.
You're actually a little low on my pole, but okay, I'll do 6. But let me just tell you this. Wouldn't it kill if you were just as horny for both genders? Being bi, you'd get laid 5 times a day.
I think it would open things up.
Oh, my God! There are places you can go on Santa Monica Boulevard, they put things through holes in wood.
Plus, I know, and guys, you're asking a guy to decide whether you can have sex or not. I feel like I could just walk right across here, go to pre-op board op bill, and just have sex with him in the next 15
seconds. You wouldn't
even
have to ask.
Wouldn't have to ask.
You don't have to ask
a guy who's wearing a Opie sweater.
Right. Adrian, right. I know you're happily married to Christopher Knight now, but do you ever miss women?
That's a very sensitive subject.
You gotta understand, my life, I go out with Adrian, and it's not like I have to keep the guys off her.
Right.
I got to keep guys and women off.
I know.
100% of the population is in play.
You're a better man than I am because I'd be flipped out jealous all the time. I couldn't take this. I couldn't do it.
How about another? Well, now, would you entertain another woman in the bedroom, Adrian?
You know, we haven't hit that 7-year lull where we would have to consider that just as of yet. I mean, I am 100% happy with my sexual life.
But you've been married for less than a year, right?
Yeah.
But look at them as dog years, which are 7 years to 1 year, so now you're right there.
See, because I've been married 17 years, and I think, get me, my wife, and a three-toed sloth, and this would be a bitch in three-way.
Chris looks very, very uncomfortable.
Danny's jumping anything.
He is not happy about that.
No, I've not gotten a load of Chris.
We've talked about this. I mean, it sounds like a great fantasy, but in reality, man, it's a triangulation that's just sure to just cripple the relationship in some form.
It's true, but I look at it this way. There's a better than 50-50 chance you're going to get divorced anyway. Don't you want this in your hopper when you go packing?
Well, you know, I'll be honest. I mean, Adrian, don't kill me for sharing this, but early in our relationship, before there was a commitment, Adrian said, listen, if this isn't really going to go anywhere, why don't we'll just, you know, and if, you know, let me know if it is or not, because if it isn't, why don't we just bring another woman in?
Right. Fresh! I'd be fanning myself.
It's really the commitment thing that prevents that.
You know, if we ever were going to get divorced, hopefully it'll be a nice divorce, because I'm just not that kind of person, and we'd be able to do something like that. It's just not something you do when you're in love with someone.
I guess what you're saying is part of our reconciliation therapy will be bringing another woman in.
Right.
Yes.
In the event that it is on that track, then we'll get that out of the way.
I have a question that has nothing to do with sex, which makes me feel stupid when we've got this all going. But because it's a client, this is weird. I just got a client called Dr. Tatoff. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they remove tattoos. Now, I'm married to Gretchen. I have Debbie tattooed on this arm. Mm-hmm. I have Jane tattooed on this leg and a couple others.
He doesn't even know who Jane is.
I don't know who Jane is. So I was going to go get a tattoo removed from my new client, Dr. Tatoff, who turns out to be Chris Knight.
Hmm. I brought my dog to Dr. Sackoff, actually. A little earlier.
What I was going to do is I was going to get a tattoo tomorrow that says Dr. Tatoff, and then have you guys remove it and put it on your website every procedure.
I mean, that's great. We love the advertising.
Would you rather
have
your name?
No, not my name, Danny. Thank you.
Dr. Tatoff.
I don't think Gretchen would want my name on there either, but I have it under good authority, though, that there is a tattoo that you possess on your hand that Gretchen would like to see removed. So
the
we'll
ring?
Take care of the Dr. Tatoff.
Okay.
But we will also...
How do you know about that?
Well, I've done a little research.
He's a Brady. He's a genius. Yes. Are you talking about the wedding ring?
And apparently it doesn't.
She thinks it wasn't for her. She's assuming she believes for some reason.
Well, it doesn't work for her. Before you met her, Danny. Yeah. That's
no,
the
I
problem.
Didn't. No, I was married 10 years when I got there.
Yeah, but apparently it reminds her of
a bad time.
Bad times. So she would like it removed. So we're going to remove that too.
Okay,
if you have no objection.
You got that ring when you were having the affair.
No, when the affair was over and I was caught and busted and I want to say I was sorry and please bring me home and I'll never be anywhere. I'll never do it again. I love you so much and I had a tattoo. I said, that way I can never take my ring off. She goes, all that does is remind remind me you had an affair.
Yeah, it's true. It's a guilt tattoo.
Yeah, he likes to think he doesn't have to wear the ring. This way he has the ring on at all times, but it probably doesn't work with a woman's logic.
Christopher Knight, so we'll see you in your laser. And Danny will show you his ring finger.
That's bitching. I never thought. I didn't even think of it because she's wrong. I did this for her, but it still reminds me of a bad time.
But we're going to take care of it for her.
Also, how do we find out about this internet in the automobiles?
Everything else about you, you genius.
Autonetmobile.com.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Autonetmobile.com.
Then
Dr. Tadoff is drtadoff.com.
Christopher Knight, thank you very much. Adrian, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Adrian. Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Big Britney Spears news just breaking this morning. We'll talk a little Naomi Campbell and a little bit more Idol.
All that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show, your news leader. Live, local, late breaking. Teresa Strasser with the news that matters.
The woman cut open a tampon, put 2.5 grams of heroin, 10 morphine pills, and a small scalpel inside of it, and then put it where tampons go.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
Time to shine, baby girl. Teresa Strasser.
As only you can.
Britney Spears has been getting sick a lot lately. There's been a widely spread photo that looks like she's thrown up peanut butter. But it turns out, according to In Touch Weekly, that it's not because of drinking that she has been a little bloated and getting sick a lot lately. In Touch Weekly is saying that Britney Spears is pregnant.
Oh,
again.
Jesus.
Yes, she just had her second child 4 months ago. Friends are saying she got pregnant for the second time only 3 months after having her first child. So this would be sort of in her pattern of pregnancy.
Well, you can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take the trash out of the white.
Very nicely said.
I feel like biologically she should be on her 28th kid. It's just at some point she sold records and got a lot of money, but in her soul,
but
she was meant to just be white trash.
Did you ever notice, have you ever seen it? I've seen it not happen more often, but I've seen white trash dogs, if you will, make it big and all of a sudden know exactly what fork to eat with and sit down at the table and have surrounded themselves with professionals and have learned to emulate them.
She didn't go to finishing school.
No, she did. Roseanne Barr is another perfect class that didn't do it. $400 million, the woman's a tard.
Well, right. Someone finished because it appears that she's pregnant again.
Nice.
Wow.
This according to Utch.
Story, though? She's with a guy, and here's how you know they're dating the next guy. When
yes.
The next guy looks exactly like the first guy.
Yes.
If my thing is super bosomy blondes and I dump my super bosomy blonde wife and then you see me out with another super bosomy blonde, assume I'm humping her and we're not just friends,
right?
Because that is my
right
type. The new guy looks exactly like K-Fed, which is obviously a type she's attracted to. But he said that wasn't her vomit. He just reached into his pocket and pulled out some peanut butter.
Yeah, a packet of peanut butter.
So he thinks fast on his feet, this kid.
He's fast.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I wash jeans because they come with peanut butter in them.
You don't know how many things I've told cops were in my pants for what reason.
Sure. You go right down to the Baby Gap and you pick up some peanut butter pants for the kids.
We were discussing Idol earlier, but we did not
I'm a 34, 36, nutty. My wife wears
smooth?
A size 7 smooth.
Smooth. Okay.
Yeah, she goes to smooth department.
Since you didn't have twins, I'm not buying you crap, but it's good to know when kids goes up in the future.
We were discussing Idol briefly, but we didn't talk about Brenna. She came on and said she was the biggest Idol fan ever, and this was one where they didn't telegraph it very well, because I actually didn't know if she was going to suck or be really good, but in fact, here is Brenna.
Why
are we hearing this?
She was a little on the bigger side.
My dog just blew his brains out.
Do you know what song it is?
Yeah, it's Pressure by Bowie and what's his name? Freddie Mercury.
Her pants were under a little pressure from what it looked like.
It's always sad when the heavy set. First off, all you fatties within the sound of my voice, please do not go sleeveless. I see a lot of chicks looking like interior linemen for the NFL. You know, the guys with just the big white corn-fed guys with the huge guns.
Yes.
And their jerseys are all tightened up around their arms because they don't want anyone a handle for anyone to grab onto.
That makes perfect sense.
I see chicks who have 18-inch pythons walking out with sleeveless, and it's like, honey, your guns are the size of Hulk Hogan's except for they're white and flabby. Well, who told you to go sleeveless? It's not like there's some law that you can't wear sleeves.
I know.
I didn't think that football would teach you anything about street, but it does. Because when you say you don't want any handles at all, anybody with a ponytail talks any crap to me, he's done.
Well, that's right.
Comes up to me with a handle? Are you kidding?
You hear that, Jose?
Jose
Hebert.
Oh, yeah. He does have a ponytail. Well, one woman who has beautiful arms is Naomi Campbell.
Mm.
She's
got
guns.
All sorts of parts.
Great arms for throwing cell phones.
And that may be how she got them. Now, she has just pleaded guilty to hitting her maid with a cell phone after accusing her of stealing a pair of Naomi's jeans. Now, she struck a deal with prosecutors because she didn't want...
Your forehead's blowing up.
What are the roaming charges if I hit your head? She did not want this thing to go to trial, obviously, because it could have meant a prison sentence. So she pleaded guilty to misdemeanor assault. She's going to do 5 days community service, attend a 2-day anger management program, not her first time at that rodeo, and pay the maid's medical expenses, which amount to $363.
Okay, collectively, I've spent 90 days in rehab and drank on the way home every time. This bitch is killing people. And they're giving her 2 days.
Well, she made kill the maid.
Stitches, though.
It only cost $363 in this instance. Now there have been several phone tossings at maids
by Naomi.
Campbell.
Yes.
It almost sounds like slang. Oh, she tossed her phone.
It is the lowest form of celebrity, which is, as a celebrity, you're supposed to punish the man. You're supposed to do a sort of moral Robin Hood. You're supposed to go after the suits and the man, and then the help, you're supposed to bend over backwards for. Cool to the maid.
Right.
Bitch out the boss. Well,
that also implies to picking up women. You treat the queen like the maid and the maid like the queen. That's what my daddy always said, and he was out with the ladies.
Well, right. She used the Russell Crowe defense, which was, she
I'm
said
a big
she
blowhard from Australia.
No, actually, she said she did throw the phone, but she did not intend to hit the maid.
Yeah.
So exactly what?
So I say points deducted for being a bad shot.
Yes, she should get more time served. Right.
Well, in Amsterdam, where is the capital of sex and drugs, they've taken a new step to erect a statue dedicated to prostitution. It's being created by a Dutch sculptress. It was commissioned by a former prostitute. The statue will be made out of bronze and feature a, quote...
I've seen it.
What's it look like?
Charlie Sheen standing in front of an ATM.
No, that's funny. I've seen that.
There's no woman on it. It's just Sheen. It looks like a lot like Sheen, a younger Sheen, and he's just 20s are coming out of an ATM. Or maybe they're euros.
Right. You have seen that, Dan.
I'm in it. I'm right behind him.
You're standing in line. Yeah, there are a few guys at the ATM.
But the funny thing is, I'm not with him.
One guy's wearing
outside the rainbow. I'm just walking by. It was a weird coincidence.
One guy was wearing bedazzled jeans, and it made me think maybe
this is years ago. It's 10, 15 years ago. But I was just walking down the street, and I guess I didn't even know it was Charlie Sheen. But there's a picture of Charlie Sheen, and you can see clearly that it's me, and it says that we're out being bad.
And you were just walking past.
I was walking by.
It.
I didn't even know it was him.
Maybe that's what the artist used.
Right.
The statue should be made of liver.
It's in fact made out of bronze and is a self-assured woman, her hands on her hips, looking sideways towards the sky and standing on a doorstep.
I feel like someone's going to get drunk and try to hump it pretty soon.
If
they make
don't
a good-looking prostitute.
It's very likely.
To hump a bronze statue?
I'd give that a try right now for fun.
Well, in the chimp world...
Watch it, son. That's not bird crap.
See, now we're moving into what's got to be a big dare. Now she's talking about chimps.
We're talking about chimps now. Chimps in Louisiana, and I'm not talking about the Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about actual chimps.
Right.
They keep them, you know, the older chimps together in what they call Chimp Haven. It's kind of a camp for chimps. And all of the
Good name for TSV, by the way.
Two thumbs up. Opposable thumbs. Now, all of the chimps there have had vasectomies, the male chimps.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one chimp, a female chimp, who's in her late 40s, and she's been living in the area with the 17 other chimps, 7 of whom are male, for the past year and a half. A few days ago, she showed up with a baby chimp in her arms. Mm. Nobody knows what happened, but they think one of the chimp vasectomies was botched.
That's got to be a rough gig, performing chimp vasectomies. Like, does anyone go to med school thinking this is where they're going to end up? I think they must announce, I'm going to cure cancer, or I'll get to the bottom of AIDS, and next thing you know, you're standing on the business end of a scalpel digging into a chimp.
And maybe that's why they...
Sterile chimp.
Maybe that's why they didn't do such a complete job, because they were doing a vasectomy on a chimp.
I'll tell you right now, if my wife ever used and looked me in the face and said, no, you know, your vasectomy must not have been good. As soon as I was done hacking her head off, I'd go check the doctor.
You had a vasectomy?
Yeah. Ah.
They say they're reversible.
Yeah, they say mine's reversible.
Well, the botched,
we don't need it
the percentage of botched vasectomies in humans is less than 1%, so I think you'll be okay. But my favorite part of the story about the chimp, it's her 11th child, her 11th child, her first in the last 13 years, and the chimp is named Teresa. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. F*** you, CNN.
This just in off the AP wire, the chimp that had sex with Chimp Teresa cried.
After.
Wept openly.
From joy.
Well, that's not clear. That's a whole
speculation. Liquid squirted in his eyes, so we do it with you.
We need to take a break. Something we were talking about yesterday and I want to talk about a little more today, the pussification of the United States. Men turning into women and women, in turn, turning into men. I say by the year 2000, maybe 37, we will not be able to separate the two. I'm talking about women doing the home improvement projects, women going off to work, guys being full-time stay-at-home moms, and all that stuff. Guys can't fix cars, women can fix houses, and this has all happened in about the last 25 years. Now, that's not much in terms of the Earth's calendar. Yeah. We have not evolved. This is an emotional thing. Do the math. Let's keep going. 50 years from now, look out. We'll take a quick break. 866-901-ADAM. Chime in on the pussification of America after this.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Bluefield, Virginia. While being booked for a probation violation, a 33-year-old man escaped custody and stole a police cruiser. After driving to West Virginia and stealing another car, the man was subdued by police dogs. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, we're talking about the pussification of America. I do believe that men are turning into women and women are turning into men. And if you look at it as a giant X, the bottom of the X would have been, let's just say, the turn of the century. As we got to the 50s, we started to approach close. We got closer. It's been accelerating at breakneck speed over the last few years.
Yeah. And I started now, the X a little further back, though. I started the X with when you clubbed her over the head and brought her back to the cave.
Well, either way, the base of the X, we were miles apart. The men did the fighting, the men did the fixing, and the woman did the birthing and the cooking, and we've gotten way away from that. Everyone thinks that's a good thing. I don't think it's a great thing. The fact that no chick I know knows how to sew, and no chick I know can cook worth a crap, and no chick I know can do anything around the house anymore, and then no dude I know can work on a car anymore, I don't know when that turned into a good thing. I don't know when it turned into a source of pride. If I was a woman, look, I would want to know how to cook. I'd want to know how to clean. It wouldn't mean I would have to stay home barefoot and pregnant, but I would like to know how to sew and mend and do all that. And I think all guys should know how to fix a flat, change a tire, and so on and so forth. I'll give you some alarming stats. In 1951, males, 86% of males worked, and only 35% of females worked. In 2005, it went down in males to 74%. So it went down more than 10%, and for the females, up to 62%. So many, many more women are working these days, which, again, is not such a bad thing, but I feel like just because you're working doesn't mean you don't know you don't need not to know how to do other domestic duties. And the same with guys. Here's one. Plastic surgery up 20% for men over just the last couple of years.
Does that bother you in a pussification sense?
Well, when I was growing
when
up...
When I look at Burt Reynolds, it does.
Yes, when I was growing up, the idea of a male getting plastic surgery would have sounded bizarre. And
still sounds
almost,
bizarre to me.
Almost out of this world. It, by the time our children become adults, it will be commonplace.
It will, but only because it will start to work. I just happen to know from... I know plastic surgeons very well, one of my best friends, and he had a party for plastic surgeons, and I asked. And I don't like these bags under my eyes. And without one exception... They said, men's eyes don't work. We can't do it. You'll look, just grow old gracefully.
You'll look like Burt Reynolds.
And I said, too late for that.
Grease, this new Grease, You're the One That I Want show is doing gangbusters in the ratings.
Yes, NBC's highest non-sports related show in that time slot since 2004.
Dreamgirls is number one at the box office. And even American Idol.
You know what?
I'm not a show guy should be watching.
Well, Ryan Seacrest is kind of like that X where it intersects.
See, that's where I lose you because the metrosexual is not necessarily the antithesis or the specific of what Adam is talking about in my belief. I don't think hair gel and cologne and stuff like that makes you the pussification, because I know real guys that do that. I don't do that. I don't wear any care products, no cologne. I wear deodorant. That's that.
Right.
But here's my problem, and I've taken...
He does put on the ladies' jeans, by the way.
These are Angel jeans,
yes.
And they're a size 9, and they are girls' jeans. Mm-hmm. But they didn't make... I lost a lot of weight and got in shape, and they made boring guy pants. So I went to the girls' department for 2 years.
We call them dungarees, son.
See, I don't. I call them hot-ass pants.
Danny, I think that's cosmetic pussification. I think the real problem pussification is deep down, like not making sure that a woman has her coat when she's cold or not opening a door.
Most people don't even know that a woman shouldn't walk on the outside on the street, that she should walk on the inside. Most people don't even know that.
Yes, and I think that the plan that women had starting in the late 60s that men should sort of become women. I mean, I remember this because I grew up with a bunch of retarded hippies, and they would always talk about, oh, well, look, the only reason that little boy picked up a gun is because you gave him a gun. If you give him a dolly, then if you gave him a dolly, he would turn it into a gun.
Right.
If you gave me a Barbie doll when I was 4, I would try to shoot somebody with it, or I would hit him over the head with it. All I'm saying is as a society, I think it's be careful what you ask for. Right. I think the part where the men go off to war and the women stay home and raise the kids, or the woman cooks and the guy goes off to work, the women are nurturers. The women are the ones you want raising your kids, not the guys.
Not the guy.
My point is we're trying to create one big ball of humanity instead of having the North Pole and the South Pole the way it used to be in the 50s. I say be careful what you ask for. I don't think it's a great plan.
We should be different, but this is one confusing aspect, is I feel like as a woman, it's sexy to do certain things that are tomboyish. Like, I shouldn't drive a Jetta, I should drive a pickup truck, I shouldn't have a Chihuahua, I should have a big retriever,
Yeah,
that's cutesy stuff.
It's cool when the chick's name is Joey or Stevie or something like that.
You know, all that stuff.
When Adam brings it up, it does kind of embarrass me that I can't do any of the things he's talking about. None of them. Some guy called up the other day about dovetail joints.
Yes.
Russian.
I could show you what it is, but to be fair, I can't be Dazzle.
either can I. Didn't we? But the point is, I never feel like a puss. Never. I could be wearing the gayest outfit in the whole wide world while I'm not fixing the thing.
Could be.
And here's... Hey, this
because
is nothing,
puss is on
buddy.
The inside.
I dazzled those front pockets myself.
Well,
this is
inside.
Nothing compared.
You're the exception and not the rule on this one.
Well, I'm just saying that don't you think there are some guys, I don't think they would dress the way I do, but some people that dress the way I do, it's like that they're just confident. They're just guys, and this is what makes me the most comfortable.
Again, you know, you are a very strange bird and the exception, not the rule on this one.
I'll take that.
I feel like most guys don't want to get into fights anymore. Most guys can't fix cars anymore. Most guys don't want to participate in all those things guys used to participate in. There was a time where if a woman was by the side of the road and her car was parked, a guy would hop out of his car, pop the hood, and say, let me see if I can figure out what the problem is. Right. I don't know a person who would know how to pop the hood on someone else's car anymore.
That makes sense. What about if you cannot do these things for yourself, but you go out and you work hard enough that you can afford to have them done for you?
Well,
I don't need to pop the hood. He knows how to pop the hood, and I got the money on me.
That is a... is pop the hood a gay term, by the way?
No, it's the trunk.
Stupid.
He got busted popping a hood in Phoenix a few years back.
She popped the bonnet, not the boot. The point is, yes, this is another topic for another day, but this is another social topic, which is now that you have made the money and you can pay everyone to fix everything, build everything, do everything, eventually we're just going to turn into blobs that earn money that pay other people to do everything. We'll have literally farmed out everything. We need to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Well, just a few seconds left. Time enough for something called So What Have We Learned? Well, first, step-parents, don't pick up the phone. Very uncomfortable. Can I speak to my dad or Jim? Now you're calling your dad by his first name. Just don't pick it up. It's very uncomfortable. Number two, as a matter of fact, don't do anything, step-parents. Just stay in. Wait to die. What else have we learned today? Well, anyone between Tijuana and Cape Horn is Mexican. Right. In me and Danny's book. I don't know the difference. Totally. Don't bother trying to explain the difference between Nicaragua and San Salvador and wherever the hell else you're from. You're all Mexican to me. And last, the most affordable pet neutering, Dr. Sacker.
Good time.
Working wonders with my dog, Molly. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Lower your voice. You don't have to talk so much. You always have an opinion on everything.